All right, welcome to episode two.
I was laughing at Morrissey.
What?
Morrissey made me laugh.
Sorry.
Screw up the intro. That's fine.
Sorry.
You know what? I'm not even going to fix it. We're just going to keep going. Welcome to episode 226 of the Linux Lugcast. We are an open podcast slash lug that meets at 9 p.m. Eastern every first and third Friday of the month using Mumble. Now, let me specify. We are an open lug that then gets put out as a podcast, and we kind of meet together at around 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock is more of a starting time, a like general meetup time. The thing doesn't actually start until, well, Eastern time. It's now about 10:30 that we're actually starting the actual podcast part of it. So if you're planning on joining with us, you don't have to be. The 9 o'clock isn't a strict thing. There's a little bit of leeway, so you can take your time getting in here. We'll help you if you have any audio issues. We'll help you get your audio issues set up. It's just after 9 o'clock Eastern time is the time that people will be there.
Jump on in whenever you want.
Jump on in whenever you
want.
Glad
to have you.
Show up. We usually don't stop recording. Lately, it's been somewhere in Eastern time around 1. Usually around 12 o'clock, we're like getting towards the end of it, and we're trying to cut it off, but usually it takes about another hour before it actually finishes. So
you can understand we're all good friends, and we like to see and visit with each other. We only get to do it twice a month, and we want you, listener, loyal listener, to join us and be our good friend as well.
That didn't sound creepy at all. Come be our friend. It's okay.
You can stop candy by
anytime.
I have candy in my pocket. Yep. So check out LinuxLugcast.com for so we connect using Mumble. Danny has been working on, has actually got a Mumble web set up. So as once, we'll probably put it on the link on the website, and then all you have to do is click on the link, and it'll bring up a mobile version. I mean, it'll bring up a web version of Mumble, and then you just have to put a name in and make sure you jump into the. Can you have it set up so it doesn't go into the root room or
yeah,
it goes straight into the Lugcast room?
Yeah, I can redirect it. So it'll do. What I was going to fix on it is make push to talk default and also go straight into the Lugcast room.
Okay. Well, if you make push to talk by the default, don't they have to set up their push to talk beforehand?
No, it's control shift. It'll tell you when you log on. Control shift is push to talk.
Okay.
But you don't go through a audio wizard. You just got to let the browser share your mic and audio or whatever. So
okay, so that
I
should
think
be coming.
That's fair.
That should be coming up soon. Keep your eye out for LinuxLugcast.com. For we have the general server details, which we may be switching over to just using Danny's server, and we'll set up the link. There'll be two links: one for using the Mumble client to log in, and another link for using the Mumble web to log into it. Tonight we're using Delwyn's server. We're also trying to see whether there's a we'll get more into that once the show starts. Danny's got a couple projects that he's been working on. We have other ways to keep in contact with us. There is a so the active ones that we are using is there is a links to a Lemmy server, and there are links to a Matrix server, and that is the most active things that we are on. That you can get in contact with us. Besides, also there is a email feedback@linuxlugcast.com that is available. If you have any questions, comments, topics you'd like us to discuss, or any sort of feedback, we'd be happy to hear it. You can send us the email. You can contact us through Lemmy. You can contact us through Matrix. Matrix, we just sit around and BS about the projects we're working on. We like to post our scores for the multiple web games that we're playing, whether it's Movidel. What's the one where you got to find the four pairs?
Oh, connections? Is that right? I think so. Connections.
I don't know.
Anyway, there's a million games.
Dude, I've been doing Deuteridge, Framed, and...
Set up a specific room for the games.
Well, I'm actually trying to work on a leaderboard app. But I'm not having... I don't have any experience with, like... The one I found that I can set up pretty easily is built on JSON, and I don't know anything about JSON. So, I mean, I can get the thing to start up, but it's... I'm not sure where, like, half the stuff is kept. So, you know, like, any of the... there doesn't seem like a database set up, or if the database is set up, I'm not sure where it is. I don't know. It's something I'm slowly working on.
I can tell it's all coming together. It's all coalescing into, like the guy said, the best Linux podcasts in the world. Isn't that what that comment was said? We could be the best Linux podcast out there. It's all coming together.
How about we just be the best internet Linux lug that we can?
Mm-hmm. In the world.
That's recorded and shared. there's a video version of this that gets shared both on YouTube and on PeerTube. Again, check out either the show notes. All the links are either in the show notes or at linuxlugcast.com. So I'm your host for this evening, which basically just means I'm the guy who talks a little bit too much. Honky Magoo with us tonight is Joe.
So talk way too much.
Lovecraft.
Good evening.
Should I introduce Lugbot? Can he speak for himself?
You can introduce Lugbot.
All right, Lugbot.
Hi.
There we go, Lugbot. Mm-hmm. Minix.
Hi.
They're like one and the same.
Mm-hmm.
Morton C.
Hello.
And Netminer.
Hello, friends.
And hanging out in the background is our good friend, Cherry Hill Tony.
Hi, Tony.
We need to connect Lugbot to Tony so he can just type in what Lugbot says
That's the next project.
Well, we can just, if he types in the Mumble server, we can just copy and paste it into Lugbot. The old fashioned, the easy way, or the hard way, whatever it goes.
Right. Oh, don't forget, never mind. He's not here anymore. Eric is in the audio test.
Is he still in the audio test?
Yeah.
Oh, he just quit.
Oh, now I just quit. Oh, no, he's in the R room. Hi, Eric. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, guys.
Good to have you on.
Thank you.
So.
We just started up. We're actually going to.
You're just in time.
Yeah, just in time. Want to introduce yourself or just.
Oh.
Do you want to hang out?
I'm sorry.
Whatever you want to do, man. No, that's fine.
That was an open-ended, we just started. Like, what?
Yeah, we just started the show. The official show, I guess you could say. What gets
the initial intros of things?
Yeah,
I listen to you guys all the time, and I just figured I would. You do ask folks to come and join and participate, and I keep thinking, I'll do it, and then I never do. And you know, Saturday or Sunday, I'm like, man, I should have done that. So,
anyway. Yeah, I'm glad you did.
Yeah, here we are.
Yeah, there's a Jitsi. If you want to see what we look like.
Oh, okay. Well, I'd be a voyeur because I don't think you're going to see me tonight.
That's fine.
That's fine.
Netminer, we've never seen Netminer before, and we've been talking to him for ages.
How do you know he's real then?
We don't.
He could be ChatGPT, you know.
The most advanced ChatGPT ever.
Mm-hmm. Because I absorb computers given to me.
See that? You assimilate things.
That's it. He's growing.
Actually, the Borg.
All right, so do you want to talk more about your whole deal with starting the whole Mumble web application going there, Danny?
Sure. If everybody wants to, you can go to the Mumble web right now. It's lugcastweb.minix.dev, and that'll bring up the interface. And then if you want to connect via the client, it's just lugcast.minix.dev. So lugcastweb is the actual Mumble Web interface. And it's a lot simpler than the actual client. Like, you don't have, there's not the audio wizard and stuff. There's a little settings tab where you can do a few things, but mainly I wanted to build it just so that we would have an easier way for people to join the show who didn't really know what Mumble was. If that was, you know, if that was maybe a stumbling block to get more people on the show, this way they could just click a link and grant the browser their mic and audio, you know, headphones or whatever, speakers. And so I got it set up and working. The only thing is that it's not an easy process because the code is so old. There was so many dependencies that it depends on. They're deprecated. I mean, you know, this is all 3 years old now, and it hasn't had any updates. So, like, it uses NPM to do the install, but it used old version of NPM. And so I had to pull in that. I had to pull in all these other dependencies that were that are not in the repos anymore just because they're so old. So I had to find them. And some I had to compile. So to build it, it just took... It was really sucky. So, but I did finally get it running. And hopefully, now that I have a binary, if somebody else wants it, I can pass it off. And, you know, do whatever. I can put it up on my Git or whatever. But yeah, it uses a, you know, the normal version of the Murmur server, you know, the most recent version is the back end, and that's really easy to install. Anybody can install Murmur, and it uses just the INI file for all the settings and stuff, and then Mumble Web is a web client for it. So
you said lugcastweb. .minix.web,
or did it? No, .minix.dev.
D-E-V. Dev. Okay.
Yeah. The big thing is it uses Python 2, so that was a really big stumbling block because that's not even in the repos anymore. And so pulling all that in was a real pain in my ass, but I finally got
it built. You can convert it to Python 3.
They have a 2-3 tool that Python used to ship, and I think 3.11, which they deprecated. And I did try that, not for this, but for a few other things, like the MumbleBot that does the repeating, the Mimic bot in the audio test room, and it doesn't work. It's like,
yeah, I found that I had to do my own manual conversion.
Yeah, you have to go back and actually prints or functions now and stuff like that, and you have to do all that by hand. It's I don't even know why I was ever. I guess a really simple script it could probably have no issues with, but like Mumble Web is not that simple as far as the code base goes. So anyway, I got that up and running, and it's
what
working.
What do you have that? So it's, is it on a VM on your?
It's in a Linux container on Proxmox, Debian 12, I believe. Linux container.
Okay.
So an LXC, and I only gave it like 2 gigs of RAM and a single core, and I mean it's very lightweight. Which Mumble itself is super lightweight too, and so this isn't much different. So Mumble is running, Mumble and Mumble Web are both running in the same container, Linux container, LXC.
Minix, and where is, we need to document this on our main website there. And stuff, and show notes. I mean, show notes here is good, but if this is going to be a mainstream entry, we also have to make it equivalent to this Mumble server.
I'm putting it in a show note. Yeah, it's still a work in progress. This is what I built was mainly proof of concept that it could be done. So there's a lot left to do.
Yeah, like I was saying, once we get it nailed down that we were going to move over to it as the main server or whatever, then I was going to put it onto the website.
So if you go to the show notes, both addresses are there. Lugcast web and just lugcast.manix.dev. One is the web front end and one is just the mumble client address.
What's the port?
Just the regular port, standard
64738.
Port for Lugcast for the client address. For Mumble Web it's 443 because it's all
right.
It's all SSL, yeah.
But is it 64?
Lugcast web is 443. It should autofill.
No, but when you connect to the Murmur server through the Mumble client, it asks for the port number.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's the standard port, default
64738.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's the standard.
I want to. Another thing I need to do is get CertBot. A real certification instead of self-signed cert for the client connection, because you know how when we connect to Delwyn server it says this is a self-signed certificate. That's how mine is now, just because all I did was pass it through Nginx without giving it a cert. Now Mumble Web has a cert just because I needed that because you're going through the browser, but to go through the client. It's just a self-signed certificate, just like Delwyn server. So I need to get that figured out, how to get that SSL as well for just a client connection. Using the Mumble client. I think that email you sent me really helped, Honky from Delwyn.
Mm-hmm.
That had all the information I needed, and he had the same problem. As far as getting an SSL cert for Mumble, so he went with the self-signed Murmur cert, and that's what I'm currently using for the client. But I'll figure it out. I always do. I'll get it going. But yeah, that was super helpful because he explained. Can I read that on the air or no? Part of that?
Sure. I think so.
Okay, because there's something really important that I want to share. Let me go to my email real quick, or I can pull it up on my phone. Hang on. As far as the MumbleBot, which does the audio test, the MimicBot. Let's see.
Yeah, I was wondering where he got that.
It's crazy. Like, there's no wonder I couldn't build it. It says, unfortunately, the EveBot, which is the name of the bot, that I use as a repeater is getting long in the tooth. I cannot get it to work at all under Debian Bullseye, which is 11, right? Bullseye. It seems to be running fine at the moment under Ubuntu 18.04, but there's an issue there where it can't be fully set up from scratch. Using Ubuntu 16.04 would probably be great for the bot, but I was less than thrilled about the prospect of running on something that old. That's what I was going to do, is build it on 16. But then I would still run into the same thing with Python 2 dependencies, trying to get it to run on a modern server. And I hate to install Python 3 and Python 2 on the same server because it's a real fucking hassle.
Shit show.
Shit show, yeah, exactly. So he said he modified EveBot after Opus became the standard for Mumble. And he posted a link to it, but still the whole thing is that really running it on anything or anything newer than 16.04 is you're going to have a real problem. So he said he was luckily able to get it running on 18.04, but then he talks about all these problems about it crashing Mumble all the time and stuff, mainly because it's so old, you know. Like, I think the original one is from 2013, something like that. The EFOT. I can't remember. But it's old. So, I mean, it's a Python bot, which I could build, you know, I'll just look at the code and do it manual conversion to three. But what sucks is the...
It's a lot of work.
Some of the dependencies it uses are like weird stuff that I don't know anything about, like proc something or anyway. But I'll get it worked out. That's really the main thing I'm missing in the new Lugcast Mumble server is the Mimic Bot. And I mean, it's not absolutely necessary, but it'd be nice to have.
Did we ever think that it might be time to move away from Mumble?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so. Or did we?
I don't know. What would we want to use instead?
Jitsi?
Like just straight Jitsi?
I'm not exactly sure. How is it recording audio through Jitsi?
So it records audio and video if you have your mic on, but it's all in one. It's all in an MP4 container.
You just strip it out using what? Just about any audio or video application.
Yeah, you could.
So when you guys were talking about it last week, that's exactly what I thought was like Jitsi. And simply because the Atlanta Linux group, they use it for their stream on Sundays. And literally only one guy ever has his camera on. And if I join, I may turn mine on. But almost everyone just uses it for audio. Also, they just use the hosted version, so they're not hosting it themselves. I mean, I don't know what your feeling on that is, but it seems to work really well. But yeah, Jitsi sort of just popped into my head because I use the app image of it, and it works like flawlessly. It also works really well on my mobile devices because they have a first-class client for it, whereas I've had some issues with Mumla and Plumble and stuff like that, so...
Jitsi, the hosted version is a 1 hour limit on recordings. Unless you pay, you have to pay for it if you want longer than that. Because I looked into that too before I built the Jitsi server. But
couldn't you get around that with like OBS?
Yeah, but who wants to screen cap their desktop, you know?
You don't have to screen cap the whole desktop. You can screen cap a window.
Or a window, you know?
The guys that do Mintcast, obviously.
Yeah, they do, but... why do that when it can all be handled internally by a server, you know?
Well, when there's a one-hour limit placed on it, and OBS gets around that without having to pay for it...
Well, Danny's already got a Jitsi server set up.
Yeah.
We're using it now.
Well, that's true, but see my point.
Why would we switch? If we're going to do that, why would we switch to the thing we're already kind of...
I'm not saying we should switch. I'm saying somebody that was using the hosted version should switch.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Got it.
I mean, that's a possibility. I haven't checked in a while, but... Jitsi, Jibri, which is the recording server, is built on Ubuntu 18.04, and that's their official like GitHub documentation, is use Ubuntu 18.04 for Jibri. And what is Ubuntu on now? 23.02 or 24 now or something? So...
2304.
Yeah. So, and plus, it's a really cobbled together solution. You're actually using Chromium to do the recording. Like Chromium is running on the Jibri server to have a browser frame that you can't see, but it's still running and it's recording the Chromium browser frame, which is weird, but that's how they set it up. So it's strange, and to me it's not as reliable as Mumble is, and I haven't found the audio to be as good in Jitsi as it is on Mumble either, at least on the recording. Now it may be different from what you can hear in the headphones, but there may be a way to change settings or something too within. Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
What about Video Ninja?
I've never used it.
What's Video Ninja? VDO Ninja. We used it for a long time. Well, we still use it on the Mintcast for the actual podcast. It's open source, self-hosted, everything that you could want. And it really does the audio really well. And I think it also does recording, but I know we end up using OBS anyway, so...
It uses that same excellent codec that's in Discord. It's
really
an open source codec.
The audio, yeah.
Yeah, it's really low latency, high availability. So again, just one more quick thing from last week. When you were talking about Mumble and the barrier to entry, and you know, before I joined, I had to download the client, and I just got it from FlatHub, so it's not like it was that difficult to do. You do have to configure the server. So what you've done with just having a link is already, that's 90%, I think.
Okay. Do you think that helps as far as like moving a stumbling block out of the way?
Then? Yeah, I really do. Because I think anyone that might have had a challenge using either a mobile client or, you know, dealing with installing the client, setting up a server, that sort of thing. Like the fact that this just takes you straight to it, and really the only thing you need to do is put in your username and click connect. Like that really does. That's at this point, choosing what you use, I think it's probably just as difficult for a new user to use Ninja, or I'm sorry, whatever that's called, than it is to do this.
Right.
I mean, so anyway, so I think this proof of concept, if you're happy with it and it turns out to work well, I think that kind of solves the question of Mumble, one man's opinion, you know.
Good. Yeah, that's what we were aiming for. Because, you know, in the past, I've promoted the podcast, and I would just kind of put out the link, the Mumble link, and people would just click on it and say, what the heck is this? This doesn't take me anywhere. And I say, yeah, you have to install the Mumble client. It's, you know, that's, you put this in the client. Well, what is that? You know, and I've had that happen several times. So I think you're right that just being able to click a link and open it, it just opens a browser window where you put in your whatever nickname or whatever you want to use. It really does help as far as getting more people to actually come on the show and getting past the whole installing a client and configuring the server and stuff.
Yeah, and as far as granting access to devices, I think people are pretty used to using web conference software where they kind of have to do that now anyway, where they know what their microphone is, they know what their speaker is, you know, their camera, that kind of stuff. If I mean, that's a Jitsi thing, but I think there's a...
Well, like Zoom certain, does that, right?
Yeah, if you use the web client, exactly. So...
Yeah, that's really all you have to do is just grant access to Chrome or Firefox or whatever you're running it on. And mobile too, it works on mobile browser too. You test it on there. So yeah.
Excuse me, gents. Could someone change the color scheme of our Mortensen's link?
Yeah, it's a little difficult to read.
Only Mortensen can do that.
He can change it. In the settings.
It's
the background reddish color with the green makes it extremely difficult.
I think he would just have to change his color because his color is set to the green. If he just changes it to a different color, I think it'll be...
It's always a different color when I type, and I assume it's because it's the number of the person. Each person gets a different color.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, the top right-hand corner, you can change what your color is.
We're putting Z's, not you, Mortensen. There's always several Z's right before
it's
welcome.
Netminer. It's always been Netminer.
Push to talk.
Yeah.
I just took them out.
And you didn't even buy me dinner.
I'll give you a reach around next time. That's all I can afford. Nice.
Okay, so anybody else working on any project?
I've been trying to get the leaderboard set up. Which one did I finally settle on? Let me see if I can find the link to the one I
have another project, but I can't remember what it was. Let me look in the Matrix.
While you're doing that, I guess I'll just talk about my 3D printer because I have some 3D printer fun.
Yeah.
So like a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, somewhere in that range, my 3D printer basically would just stop printing a couple layers into a print. Well, it would still be moving and everything, but no filament would be coming out. So I figured it was clogged. So, you know, I did a cold pull, all that jazz, ran a needle up and down it and cleaned it out. And it would do the same thing again and do the same thing again. Okay, so the PTFE tubing is clogged. I took it apart. I trimmed the PTFE tubing because there was some melted into the PTFE tubing. I hooked it all up again, made sure that there was a... I'd also replaced the nozzle. So I did end up going from a 0.6 to back down to a 0.4 just for testing purposes and then kind of left it there. But going to the 0.4 didn't help. Trimming the tubing didn't help. It's just clogged up again. And then I figured I needed a whole new fan assembly. But I don't have any money right now, so I kind of just sat on it for a while. And then those 3 days where it cooled down, I tried printing again, and everything worked just fine. Until Thursday. And then Thursday, it got up to 100 and something again. And obviously what I was suffering before was heat creep, which is why I thought I needed to replace the fan. But it's only happening when it's like 105 out. So it is heat creep, but it's heat creep caused by the fact that it's a bajillion degrees. Episode 225
of the Linux Lugcast. We are an open podcast lug that meets at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Sorry.
What are you doing?
That it's a bajillion degrees. I didn't mean to do that.
I'm sorry.
He was just talking right over me. It's
no, cool. I didn't. Well, I'm sorry. Sorry. It's okay.
So yeah, it is heat creep, but it's heat creep caused by the ambient temperature being about a bajillion degrees in my garage.
Ah, okay. So, you know, I've always, well, you know that they have those boxes they say they want you to put around your printer to keep the heat in, but I guess there can be too much heat. Is that what you're saying?
Well, the glass temperature of like PLA is what, 120? So if you're at 105 or 110, or then it doesn't take much heat creep for it to get up to the glass temperature and for it to melt inside the PTFE tubing. Now, right. I also did reduce my retraction from 6.5 to, or from 0.65 down to like 0.4.
That helped?
Or is it 6.5 to 0.4? To four, but yeah, it should help, but it didn't help enough. So I still ended up with the heat creep and mid print. It was printing in middle of the air, so I'll probably need to pull the filaments, cut it, put it back through, push it back in, and get it printing that way again. I might even have to trim the tube again, or I do have another thing of PTFE tubing that I can replace it with.
Now that tells you something about the heat here in Texas right now, knowing that they sell enclosures for 3D printers to keep the heat in, and Joe can't even run his because it's too hot in his garage.
Yeah. Well, it's not only to keep the heat in, it's to keep the plastic at roughly the same temperature so that it doesn't warp.
Right, right.
But yeah.
How hot does it get in your garage, do you think?
I don't know. Hot as Satan's asshole? I don't know. Really hot.
Very precise.
I should put a thermometer out there and find out. But yeah, I've got like even three fans out there, and it is still just too dang hot to be out there. Like, I work tomorrow, I work Sunday, and I'm going to be doing it right from this chair right here. And I might be on the Mintcast, but I'm not going to be able to do much on there because I'm going to be working. And I don't know if you guys have been watching the YouTube version of Mintcast. I kind of doubt it. But, yeah, I've been in here instead of in my garage.
Joe, you may want to think about getting a remote thermometer. I got one for about $20 that has indoor temperature, and it has a sensor you can put outdoors. Means you could put the outdoor sensor in your garage and be able to see how bloody hot it is there without having to go out and check it.
Yeah, no, I definitely want an one to put in my garage because it has been really hot. And I know sometimes it's hotter in the garage than it is outside, and so it helps to open up the door. And then I know sometimes it just don't matter. Or if you do open up the door while the sun is at a certain angle, it's just going to reflect off the cement in my driveway and make the garage even hotter. So I did put some insulation on the door itself, try and reflect some of that heat back outwards. But, you know, the rest of the walls aren't really insulated in there. So, yeah, it's a really, really hot year. And I watched some of the weather stuff for things coming up. And we're entering into a fun storm season coming up in the next couple of weeks. But we'll see how that goes.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I saw that the center of the country is supposed to have this big high that's just going to gather up. Are going to sit there
for about a week
and broil. They're talking temperatures in the 110, 117 range.
They call it a heat dome, right?
Yeah. I was just going to say, did you see the illustration of that? I don't know if it was it couldn't have been a real picture, but I mean, the way that it's illustrated. Yeah, it was just like, what a wild thing that it can do that. Like,
and it,
awful,
it just sits over the U.S. It doesn't move. It's weird.
Oh, well, if you guys want to continue with that topic, we can. But I do have another topic.
Oh, go ahead.
JoJo got a cell phone.
Oh, boy. Here we go. It's already started.
He got a Motorola. Well, he is attending school in person now, which is why we got him a cell phone with a plan as opposed to just, you know, an S7 Wi-Fi phone. But he needs to be able to call me or call his mom when he needs picked up or if something's going on at the school and we need to know about it for whatever reason. So we got him a cell phone and we got
him. Did you get him a Jitterbug?
No, we got him the Motorola. It's not the Edge. It's
Razor?
No, it is the Edge. It's the Motorola Edge that we got him. But it wasn't going to arrive until after he started school. So I ended up giving him my Nord N200. And my Nord N200 was what was running my Oct 4A, my Octopi for Android.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Right. So he got that, and then I got the Motorola Edge, and then I was going to trade him back, and he said, no, I want to keep the Nord N200. Okay, even though the Motorola Edge has much better numbers to it.
Well, he wanted to use Octoprint.
Well, whatever reason he decided, he likes the screen. And I will say the screen on the Nord N200 is really freaking epic. And anyways, it turns out that Motorola phones have a problem where they won't install Oct 4A. I did not know this. So I could not get it set up on that. But I was able to get it set up on the S7. And I also had some of the two-prong USB Go cables that are supposed to be able to charge, but I looked it up and there's a software issue with the Samsung Galaxy S7 where it will not charge while an OTG is hooked up. Well, it will not charge from the cable while an OTG is hooked up. So I had to use wireless charging to charge while it's hooked up to the 3D printer running Oct 4A. The next problem is the exact same problem that the 3D printer has, though. While wireless charging, while running Oct 4A in the heat, it overheats.
Yeah. I had that problem with what's the Android camera app we were using?
Droid cam.
Yeah, I had that problem with droid cam. So how long does it take before it overheats?
Well, okay. Now, initially, it was overheating really quickly when I was trying to use it without the wireless charging.
Right.
But that was because I was running the camera server. But when I'm using wireless charging, there the way it's set up, there's absolutely no point for me to use the webcam. So I shut off the camera, and that brought the temperature down, and it ran just fine. Mm. So then later on, I had already shut the or turned the printer off, and it was still hooked to it and everything. But the whole thing is that the wireless charging and the temperature that it was out there was causing it to cycle between connect and disconnect and connect and disconnect for the wireless charging, because every time it overheated, it would stop charging and then disconnect, and then it would cool down and then reconnect.
So it's got like a failsafe built in
Most phones do. If it gets too hot, it stops charging.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So now what?
Well, once it cools down again and my printer is working again, it should be okay to test and see where the phone is going to start having issues.
What about a fan or something?
I have three fans turned on in my garage.
Pointing at the phone?
Pointing at the phone and the 3D printer is one of them.
Mm, and it still doesn't help.
And it still does the exact same thing.
Yeah, for what it's worth, I have a Pixel 5a. And it's kind of a known issue. It's just a bad design. The camera, if I take videos, it's so infuriating because I'll try to take video of my daughter at an event or something. And like 2 minutes in, it's saying, oh, your phone's overheating. You'll have to throttle back and all this. It's like 2 minutes.
Right.
It's, come on now.
Yeah. Well,
someone had to test it, right?
Yeah. The S7 is how old now?
I have an S23.
Right? Wow. Well, my phone is a Note 10 Plus, which is now like, what, 4 years old?
I remember when you got that.
Yeah, and the S7 is, I don't know how many years older than that, like 4 or 5. So it's like 8 to 10 years old.
Yeah, you were just a little baby when you got that S7. I remember
Yeah, I had an S7, and I remember it heat being a major issue. And yeah, when it would get hot, the battery would just drain.
Now, what is the phone that they forbid people to go on the airplane with?
That's the Note 7. It was a little explodey.
Yeah. I remember that.
Definitely not something you want in a mobile device.
I had the S8. That was my first Samsung phone. I really liked it.
Yeah, I got my wife an S20, and then through an unfortunate accident, an S21 in rapid succession. And they're both, I mean, so Samsung's always done the One UI stuff, and I never got along with it. And the new stuff is I think it's 5, One UI 5. It actually does make some really nice improvements. And I found myself with a Google Pixel phone, which I got because of the stock Android experience. Definitely feeling like, hey, I think I could use a Samsung.
So you like One UI now? I like it.
I do. But you can, you know,
yeah.
Go ahead.
You can replace the launcher if it's that much of an issue. But
yeah, I know.
I know.
I used to use that Nova launcher, I think it was called, a long time ago. I like the Samsung software. Actually, I just got a big update today. One UI, I think it's like 1.5 gigs downloaded while I was at work. I don't know what it did, but probably put a bunch of spyware on there. Who knows? It runs okay though. Actually, I was thinking about for my next phone getting a Pixel, just because of the whole. We discussed this before. The way you can run true VMs on your phone instead of chroots. And so you could have like actual convergence as far as a Linux computer, cool. And just, you know, output to USB-C, video over USB-C to a screen, and one of those lap docks.
That's the Pixel?
Yeah, the Pixel has the processor that enables a real KVM. So
that would be cool. Well, I might have to do that. Now, I know Jackie is still just loves the idea of the folds.
I like
mostly
that too,
because she's seen the Samsung folds, but there are a couple other companies doing it. I
like
Xiaomi.
The Z Fold. Is that the one you like?
No, she likes the, you're thinking the Z Flip, which is the smaller one.
Yeah.
And then there's the Fold, which is like a tablet when it unfolds. And that she does a lot of media, well, all of her media really from her phone. So I can understand wanting a larger screen for that and just carrying the one device and having it fold up and fit in your pocket.
See, I like that idea. I like the idea of the fold.
Don't fit in girl pockets.
You don't like the flip, Honky?
I don't like the flip because that looks
like
because
it can be so small, you know.
Yeah, no, but I don't want anything that small.
I like the idea of the flip. No, you fold it out and it's still like a 6.8 inch phone.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
On the flip, but no,
but
I don't see the appeal of the flip. I do see the appeal of having that smaller device in your pocket and the way that it folds. Well, the 3 and the 4 were more protected when you folded up and closed it, but I think like the 5 has that giant screen on the back anyway, so it's not really protected anymore. But no, the smaller profile of that did interest me. The problem is that they just like, you know, really took away a lot of the functionality by giving it the fold. I mean, you're no longer able to use things like DeX or any type of video output from the USB-C because of the split board. So I don't see the point of it.
Yeah, I didn't see any advantage to folding my phone in half. I could see the advantage of taking my phone and expanding it out. That seems like a plus to me, but taking my phone that I already have and folding
it
in half just doesn't seem like an advantage to me.
Remember those Apple, the foldable phone that they had a problem with people? There, or the bendy phone, whatever that
was. Oh, yeah.
It was the big controversy, a bending Apple phone.
Were they actually supposed to be bendy? Because that whole idea lasted like a day or so before somebody like broke it.
No, it wasn't supposed to be bendy.
Right.
It just happened to be bendy.
Just made out of cheap plastic.
Yep, basically.
So speaking of the docks, I saw a review of Dope's Play. Dope's portable Play. Lap dock and tablet screens where you can plug in your devices and use them.
Oh, so we've talked about these before. I'm looking at your link now, Morty. So you saw a review of one?
Yeah, somebody was talking about the laptop one, the lap dock, where they plug their phone in. And,
yeah. What'd you think?
I had brought that in before, the U Perfect X lap dock, so that I was thinking about buying a broken one from eBay and seeing if I could fix it, just because I like the functionality of it and DeX.
Mm-hmm.
So I had included that in the show notes because I had talked about that before.
What did they say about it, Morty?
They said that it copied the screen. It just mirrored the screen on the laptop, and that the touch stuff worked. There was something that was a little glitchy, they said. I don't remember what it was. I was really tired when I watched it.
So it mirrors. Does it do like the external monitor, like the DeX?
I don't know what the DeX does.
Samsung DeX, it basically gives you, it allows you to use your phone as like a mouse, and it puts a desktop-like experience. It's like running Android x86 on an external monitor.
It basically turns Android into a floating window manager.
Yeah.
Instead of a tiling window manager, where even with multitasking, you can only, I think, do like 3 split windows. And DeX, more or less, just adds a taskbar to the bottom. It's like a quasi-Windows lookalike, and then it lets you have multiple windows open that are floating, and you can resize. And also, instead of putting them to sleep in the background, which is so annoying in tablet mode, or in phone mode, where you like you're trying to do things and you go back to that third app that you had been on and it's already, you know, put it to sleep, and so you lost your page or wherever you were. Dex keeps it active, so you could actually kind of get things done on it.
Yeah. Anyway, and if you don't want to run it as like, or you use the phone as a touchpad or anything, you can actually run something completely separate on the phone versus the Samsung Dex output. I have found it to be useful.
I'm sure that would be more of what device you attach to it, not the screen itself.
As correct.
Whether it'll have the work well with Dex.
No,
or have Dex set up.
Well, there is that, but there's also like the difference in the style of connection, because I have a USB 3 portable display that uses DisplayPort for the connection, and that will do screen mirroring, but it will not do Dex.
Got it.
Well, this device looks pretty interesting, and that would all be predicated on whether that touchpad is any good for me.
Well, I'd love to bring it into work, because we have that no personal laptops policy, and then they look at it and say, "Why did you bring that?" And I say, "It's my phone."
It's a keyboard, and it's a external keyboard and a monitor for my phone.
Exactly.
Exactly. Perfect. I'll tell them that the second round when they look at me like I'm crazy because I said it's my phone.
So the Pixel 6 and later devices have the PKVM feature. I put a link in the show notes, which lets you run full Linux OSs and tools and stuff without rebooting the phone. So
weren't they also supposed to be getting something similar to Dex, which would give you the Linux on, basically back the Linux on Dex,
right?
Which would be awesome.
No root needed on a Pixel 7. And
I was just gonna ask that, if you needed to root.
No,
not on the 7. Okay. Next well box. You know what, that might be a reason to buy a Pixel again. After the overheating thing, I kind of thought, I may not ever need one.
I think.
So how would you use this? Theoretically, you had it in your hand right now. Like, what would? And I know you said convergence and all that, but like, what would you do? Would you run Ubuntu Touch or KDE Plasma Touch or?
No,
run Mint.
What I would do is, I would run Linux applications that I needed through Nestbox, but I can see using this with the laptop that Morton C posted as my main computer, I guess you could say, because I would always have it on me, you know. So I'd use it as your phone, you use it as your laptop, you know, and it'd all be on one device, basically. I mean, you'd use another like a laptop to access it, but you could also access it via like a Bluetooth keyboard and just your phone too if you wanted to. Wouldn't matter.
So you're less interested in Linux on the phone as you are in using Linux with being powered by the phone and then viewing it on an external screen.
Right. Yeah. I wouldn't.
Okay.
I'm not too interested in like mobile Linux, like Bosch or Plasma. Joe is, I guess, but I'm not. Not yet, anyway, just because it's not really there yet.
Now, for me, I have used my phone and Dex, as well as, like, Chrome Remote Desktop, in order to, like, simulate Linux running on my phone while I'm at work, and using one of their displays as hook my phone. And I love being able to do that and being able to control everything that I normally would from home at work.
Now, was Linux on Dex around when you bought the Note 10?
The Note 10 was the first phone that did not have it they released it, which one of the reasons that I upgraded my phone at the time, because I went from the S7, which was the one right before they came out with Linux on Dex, and then I bought the Note 10 Plus because I wanted the top end, because I wanted to be able to do Linux on Dex, and that was right when they got rid of Linux on Dex. And they did not announce that until after the first day of sales on the Note 10 Plus.
What a sucker punch, man. That sucks.
Yeah, that's Linux running on your phone. Is that the Pixel?
Is that Termux?
It looks like Top.
Is that Termux, or do you have a Linux, or do you have Ubuntu on there?
It's Termius, and I'm connected to my cloud server, and it's really hard to do stuff on my phone with this, but with a bigger screen, whether I had a keyboard or not, I could do all sorts of stuff with it.
Now we need to ask you, since we ask you every episode, any update on the Linux phone?
No. I need to send them another message because I should have my refund.
And you don't.
And I don't.
China is asshole.
I was thinking about getting the $15 unlimited SIM card from Mint Mobile for mm-hmm. new customers. And putting that in my Xiaomi Note 7 Pro, because I have Ubuntu Touch on it.
You're not running UB ports?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's Ubuntu Touch. UB ports is Ubuntu Touch.
I heavily considered picking up an LG V60 because it was one of the first, like, halfway decent phones that kind of faked the foldability. Because you could get a case with a second screen.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. LG doesn't even make phones anymore, right?
I don't know. Do they?
I don't think so.
Maybe.
I thought they did.
Yeah, the Note. Don't they make a version of the Note? The LG Note?
Really? Maybe they still make phones. I don't know. I thought they quit making phones.
Possibly.
No, I guess they still do. Oh, it's that LG G7 Thin Q.
That was another one that you could put the screen on, if I remember right. The LG V60, the LG V50, the LG something 8, 7, whatever.
Who quit making phones?
Nokia?
Oh.
HTC?
Because Microsoft.
That's who it was.
Oh, yeah. HTC. Yeah. I didn't have good luck with HTC phones.
I didn't either. Mine sucked, I did, man. Really?
No, I had but two of like them. Early on, like the HTC Dash, the HTC Dash 2, the HTC HD2, which is as far as one of the most hackable phones ever made. I actually had like two or three of them. They were really, really good phones, but if this tells you how old they are, they had like 500 mega RAM.
Now I had the first G1, the HTC G1, the first Android phone. And that thing was cool with the physical keyboard and everything.
See, the HTC HD2 originally came with Windows Mobile 7.
Really?
But you could, because it had an open bootloader, you could put basically any version of Android on it that you wanted.
Hmm. But that after that G1, I think I had another HTC phone, and it was crap. Camera sucked. It was always overheating. It was crashing all the time. But, you know, that's just anecdotal, sample size of one. But for me, that was the last one I wanted.
Yeah, I didn't get anything else from HTC after the HD2. I was interested in the HD7, but the bootloader was locked down after the HD2. So...
No, I had also had the what was it called? The Magic? Was that HTC? The first one that had an on-screen keyboard. And it had I think it was HTC. It had I think it 512 megabytes of RAM. HTC Magic, that was called?
I'm not sure. A lot of them had like two different names, so.
Yeah, HTC Magic. And it had the little rollerball on the bottom. It was like a...
mouse.
Like a mouse. But what do you call that mouse with the ball? Trackball or something? Yeah, that's what it had. Yeah, it was HTC Magic. T-Mobile MyTouch 3G in the U.S.
Was it garbage?
Yeah. I got that after that. I dropped my G1 in the toilet and came out in 2009.
Who remembers the Sidekick? I always wanted one of those.
The T-Mobile Sidekick?
Yeah, I wanted one so bad.
Yeah, I remember it. The N900 is the one I'm really fond of. That was an epic phone.
Sidekick was one of the ones that had like the little flip-out keyboard, wasn't it?
Flip-up screen? That was the big thing
about it.
It was a flip-up screen?
That revealed the keyboard, yeah.
Oh.
I don't know what part of me changed, but I think back now of all the time I spent on different smartphones and ROMs and all of the effort I put into like customizing and keeping up with all of it and, you know, reading the news and trying every new thing that came out. And honestly, at some point, it just, I think I probably must have flashed something when I shouldn't have. Sort of like before I head out for a trip, or there was something I did that really caused me grief.
Yeah, no, I bricked more than one phone by flashing the incorrect ROM. I definitely bricked at least one HE2 that way.
Honestly, it's been years since I've even cared about rooting a phone or anything.
Right.
Like, well, I used to really be into that, but now I just don't care.
It's because the functionality that we were gaining by rooting is mostly added in already now.
Pretty much, for a while
there, the reason that really got me into rooting and ROMing was Android took away the ability to directly access the micro SD card memory.
Mm-hmm.
So only like...
They did it again.
Oh, did they? Well, removing the SD card entirely.
Yeah, mine doesn't have a micro SD card. My S23...
Are they not allowing you to access the internal memory at all?
The
applications aren't allowed to access the SD card.
Right.
Yeah, and it's
like every other release of Android, they lock it down again.
Yeah, and that was really when I had like the Note 3 when it first came out because my S3 had died. I had it for 3 days, and I got tired of not being able to access the micro SD card, so I rooted and ROMed it. And rooting and ROMing the HD2 was much better than running Windows. So I guess that's where I started doing it. And then, yeah, the Note 3, once again, was for the permissions issues. And then after the Note 3, I got the S7, and I just never did because the functionality was there. I never needed to.
Now, Eric, have you ever played with any of the open source mobile operating systems?
No, I never have because I've really never had a compatible device at the time I had the interest. And I never decided to get one, even though for the most part they weren't expensive. I think at some point in my mind I thought I'd get a PinePhone and just never did. And then I guess some things changed. I stopped traveling as much as I did. I stopped caring. And it was right. At some point the functionality was robust enough and complete enough that those things that I was so interested in. And also, even just like, I don't really even change the, like, I used to be just fascinated with like icon packs and, you know, just sounds and every little tiny detail. And like, I pretty much just use it now. Like my former self would be so ashamed of my current self.
I still put like custom ringtones on it, but I don't like individualize collar ringtones or anything like that on my phone.
I don't even like, you know, that was the first thing I would do when I got a phone in the past was I want to change the tone of the text message and the ringtone. I haven't done that since I bought this phone or my last one. It's just, I'm just like, it is what it is, whatever.
I remember a meme that was going around for a while, and you know, and it said, what ringtone do you think I should pick? And then the other person was like, well, what song do you want to absolutely hate more than anything else?
That makes sense.
Never gonna.
What was the one? Crazy Frog?
Hypno Frog?
No, Crazy Frog. You don't remember Crazy Frog?
No, I don't remember Crazy Frog.
What do you mean? Everybody remembers Crazy Frog.
I don't.
Do you remember Crazy Frog, Hunky?
No.
No?
Does nobody remember Crazy Frog?
Of course. I've already made sure my daughter knew what it was. Yeah, absolutely. Ding, 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 ding. Oh, yeah.
There's Crazy Frog. <Somebody up. laughs>
There's our takedown.
Well, there's our takedown.
Okay, I'll stop it.
You talk about things that did not age well. Yeah, there you go.
What about...
I think Hypnotoad would make a great living tone, though.
Well, I got a classic for y'all. See if you remember this one.
Oh, come on. Of course.
You remember that? Hamster Dance?
Hamster Dance, baby.
Yes.
Oh, this is a techno
I remember. Answer. I remember that within a pretty short time of that being put up as a webpage, someone sending me the link and watching it and thinking it was the most amazing thing ever.
It was on the Earthlink commercials, how to annoy was everybody it? In the office with your unlimited
yeah.
dial-up. There was another one where somebody took it and took the music in reverse and changed the animated GIFs to blood dripping on them and pentagrams and stuff. And it was the satanic hamster dance. And I would put it in people's startup folder on their in Windows. So when they started up their computer, it would load it and play.
You're talking like You're the Man Now dog days. You guys remember You're the Man Now, Dog? It was a website where it was all GIF based, and people would remix all this stuff.
Now, have you heard? Listen to this, and tell me if you can guess what this song is.
Here, wait. The okay. Hamster dance into the.
Go ahead.
They've made a an animated series out of it, Hamtaro, and they had little action figures and stuff.
I remember Hamtaro. Okay, first person that gets the song gets a prize. And then I'll tell you what it is.
I mean, it sounds like Tom Petty slowed down.
It is! You recognize
Refugees.
The song?
Sounds like Refugees.
Yeah, it's Refugee.
Down. Okay.
But guess what it is? Guess who the artist is?
We got something, we both know it, we don't talk to...
Any guesses?
I don't know the voice.
It's from the official Chipmunks album, slowed down to 16 speed. 1/16 speed. 16 speeds. Isn't that crazy? That's the Chipmunks from their I guess whatever covers album they had, you know.
Oh my goodness.
Here's another one. If you can guess this one. So Eric gets 1 point.
Heaven on
Earth. The only thing I can think about is the Lost Boys.
Got it.
What was it?
Eric got it. It's Heaven is a place on Earth.
Heaven is a place on Earth.
Baby, do you know what that's worth? Isn't that crazy? That's the Chipmunks.
So they had to sing it that slow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then speed it up to make it sound like a chipmunk.
Well, so that makes sense because I've tried doing that with my own voice and it never sound like you can't understand it. And it was right. Like, well, how do... So, okay, they just went more slowly.
But I guess that's what the real voice sounds like that sings it, you know? But they have like hundreds of these videos on YouTube of the chipmunks slowed down to 16 speed. And it's all these different songs. Anyway, I thought that was interesting.
It shifted.
Too much shift.
Well, instead of just trying to speed it up to get the pitch shift, couldn't they just change the pitch?
I don't know.
Oh, well, it works. Sing it at 1/16th and then play it back full speed.
You're talking 21st century technology.
Yeah, Joe. You're way ahead of the game.
Right, here. Something that we could literally do in seconds on like an ancient computer with today's software. It took them a whole like mixing studio and.
Well, when did those Chipmunk albums come out?
Let's see. It's been a while. I remember when I was a kid. They had them. Yeah. Cover albums. Oh man, they've been coming out since the '50s. Chipmunk Rock was in 1982. It had Deep Purple.
That had to have been horrible.
Betty Davis Eyes, Hit Me With Your Best Shot, Jesse's Girl. Oh, it has Whip It, Devo's Whip It on there.
Now that is 16 speed would be interesting, or 1/16 speed. Whip It. Whip It good.
Pretty interesting. There's some nostalgia for everybody. There is a link on the Lemmy that I want to get to real quick, just because it is the part of the Linux Gamecast we haven't done in a while. Somebody wrote Super Mario and said, which is amazing to me. But before I start the article, we need the theme, right? You know, you're always getting on me because we don't have a theme, and I make it with my mouth.
Did you record yourself doing the theme?
Hang on a second. Here we go. Go ahead.
Himself doing things with his mouth.
Yeah. Hit the theme, Lugbot.
The Linux Gamecast. The Linux Gamecast.
How do you like that? Huh? Huh, Joe? Making jokes? Now what do you think, Joe? Huh, Joe?
I think I'm going to make jokes anyway about what you do with your mouth.
Huh, Joe? How do you like that, Joe? So anyway, that's the new theme.
That did came out pretty well. I'm really surprised what you can do with your mouth. Always have been.
So I learned how to use Reaper, which is a DAW for Linux, and it's not just it's multi-platform, but they make a specific Linux native application, Reaper application, and it's free to use. And then there's after 60 days you pay for it, but it's cheap. I mean, in the world of for a full-featured DAW, I think it's $60, but you don't have to pay for it to keep using it. It just bugs you to pay for it. But I went ahead and paid for it because I wanted to support a native Linux application, and I really like it. Reaper is the name of the DAW. And it's really easy to make music. It's got a really simple sequencer and tracks and drum machine and all that stuff in it. And so I made that in Reaper.
The UI on that is pretty amazing. It's like an audio engine in a way, where and you can even do video in it, believe it or not. But
oh, really? I didn't know that.
Oh yeah, yeah. I used to make just to do it because I like to see how far I can take something. So they said, oh, yeah, you can mix audio and video, you know, in the app. And so, yeah, I actually made a few videos for my Linux channel, YouTube channel on that.
Oh, cool.
It definitely is not like it's audio first with the video sort of attached to it. So when you make audio edits, it carries them over to the video.
Yeah.
So if you're just making a straightforward, like, your face on camera, talking head sort of video, and you're just cutting out either, you know, long pauses or I don't know, just making little cuts like that. Like, it's actually pretty good for that, but it's definitely not like a video editing system.
But it was pretty easy to get into and use. Don't you think so? If you're just starting out,
it was very easy. And yeah, the UI is really the whole download was like some megabytes. It was so small.
Yeah, it's like 37 megabytes or 30 megabytes or something. Super small.
Yeah, unbelievable.
I got the flat pack, and yeah, it was super small, and like, but it's super powerful too. Like, I watched some YouTube videos to get started with it, and man, I was just making beats and stuff like the same day I downloaded it. So
I'm not sure what, if you were specifically looking for music production, but so I was more interested in voiceover stuff. And the reason I went with Reaper was I found this channel, this guy called Booth Junkie, B-O-O-T-H Junkie, and he's a professional voiceover artist, and he uses Reaper, and he has a whole tutorial series on how to set up the UI and like the controls and everything to be specific for voiceover.
Oh,
and
really?
It's just like, I watched those, and I was like, oh, and it's only like, yeah, you said like $70, something like 80 maybe?
Yeah, it's like $60.
Yeah, and I'm like, yeah, I'm totally on board with this. So anyway, yeah, and it's, so when I did a podcast several years ago, I used it as the primary means of editing, and yeah, it's an excellent, like, DAW/multi-track audio and video editing. Definitely. And mastering, and yeah,
it's great. And it just creating music is great. It's really easy.
So the key thing, the difference, like, for people that don't really understand the difference, like, so Audacity just recently added real-time effects where you can use specific effects in real time, meaning that you're not altering the underlying audio file itself. So if you think about how Audacity's always worked, you say, I want to do noise removal, or I want to do de-essing, or whatever filtering you want to do. You apply it, but when you apply it, you've now fundamentally altered
destructive.
The source. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly, destructive editing, yeah. And so when you go to add another effect, you're now, instead of using it on top of the raw audio, it's like a raw photo versus a compressed JPEG sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I guess it's not exactly, but, and so a DAW or something like Reaper is just like that, where you have the underlying raw audio file, and then you're putting filters and effects on top of that, and you can just real time add them in, take them out, tweak them, and there's none of that waiting. Because if you're working in Audacity on like an hour long file, like, they could take minutes or more for those to add, you know, to be applied.
Process, yeah.
And then you have to undo it. It's like, well, I'd like that to be 10% stronger. Undo, 10% stronger. Redo, you know. So it gets cumbersome, whereas something like Reaper is a lot more efficient. So
non-destructive. Yeah, it's dead simple to use. I mean, I knew a little bit about DAWs just from using. I think I used Adobe. What was theirs? It used to be Cool Edit Pro, and then Adobe bought it, and it was called Adobe something. I think they still have it. Back when I ran Windows, so I kind of knew what was it called?
SoundCloud.
No, that's not that. It's
okay. I don't know.
Whatever, but Adobe has what I used to use it on Windows, so I knew like the workflow and filters and stuff like that, and how to do tracking and stuff. But even if I didn't, it still wouldn't have taken me long to get Reaper under my belt. The way it's built is very efficient, and it's very intuitive. The whole user interface is very intuitive, and once you watch a couple of like videos on, like, on the Reaper website itself, they have a tutorial series that's excellent. They kind of go step by step to get you started, and that, those are the ones I watched first, and then I found a couple more on YouTube. But yeah, if you're interested in music production or anything to do with audio, check out Reaper. I recommend it. Joe's drinking a jug of something over here. Got three X's on it.
That's water.
Quote unquote water. Well, I was just gonna. That's the only reason I mentioned that thing and Mario and said, so I could play that. Well, see, I've been working on the show, trying to improve things.
Good thing one of us does.
Yeah. What else? Y'all want to talk about this movie real quick?
Absolutely.
Hang on. We've got a theme for that too.
Didn't Netminer have some stuff that he was working on?
Oh, okay. Go ahead, Netminer.
Actually, what I've been buying is The Origin of Fortran, or a book, History of Fortran and the History of COBOL. And also, Fortran was fascinating. I've even got a book on modern Fortran. I'm thinking about recreating software tools in modern Fortran to see how it works. But it was amazing that COBOL got built. It was not from one committee, it was from two committees and an executive committee. Also, a guy from RCA was driving after working on the committee work, and he was pretty disgusted with dealing with the committee and all of the delays and all of the crosstalk back in the days when there was no internet or anything to do anything with. So he saw a monument place, and he went in there and got a pretty little tombstone that he marked with the name COBOL, and he mailed it to the Department of Defense guy who was trying to hurt the COBOL committees. This was sort of semi-secret or close held for many years. His bosses hauled him in and said, "Do you want to tell me why you shipped a tombstone to the Pentagon?" The guy said, "No." "All right." And they let him go. But there is... If you think... If anyone ever says anything about the death of COBOL, sorry, Charlie, it's been tried before, even before they specified it. And it didn't work then, and it hasn't worked so far.
Java will die before COBOL.
I remember starting out in literally, I think it was 2000 in my IT career, and COBOL then being said that it did. We had one developer who wrote in it and understood it, and he was one of the most important developers on our team because we had COBOL software, and that was 24 years ago. So it's not gone anywhere.
Well, it's now object-oriented. Also, I was exposed to it a little bit at my university, but at UMass... Actually, learning about commercial data processing was close to an unnatural act because the academics wanted you to learn Pascal, and they might have tolerated Fortran, but, you know, it was that kind of place. But we had one course in COBOL. Unfortunately, I was leaving the school at the time, but I got minimal exposure to COBOL on a big CDC machine.
Fortran's still not dead either, so...
No, Fortran... Yeah, Fortran... And again, the story of Fortran Zero was another one that was quite amazing, and Grace Hopper and all of the people dealing with that and selling the idea that you could actually write, have a high-level language that would produce decent code, and they were producing compilers in machines with 1,000 words of memory, 2,000 words of memory. I mean, most of the micros that I had as a kid were bigger than that, but the stuff was fascinating, and... And I'm just, that's what I've been been doing is following the COBOL development and the kind of thrashing. You know, they had a preliminary committee working in the fall, and then they had another committee that had been set up to continue on. And the second committee said, wait a minute, this language isn't fully specified yet. Well, that's what the preliminary committee was about. They were working on it, and they were working on it, but there was another committee who wanted to take over, and they blamed the preliminary committee for not having the language fully specified. Excuse me, folks, we're pedaling as fast as we can, and it was a crazy situation. But they eventually came out with something, and a lot of it used prior art, but the first, it was designed so that you could have COBOL on virtually any machine from any maker. And the Department of Defense, who was buying a lot of computers, wanted to have a common language for doing their payrolls and inventory and junk like that. And Uncle Sam was the only one with enough clout and enough money to ride herd on everybody who was otherwise pushing their proprietary languages. So that's what I've been doing lately. Got my Fortran book today, and it's got a lot of, you can see the old bones in it, a lot of the tape stuff, rewind, etc. And limited random access. It's going to be interesting to see what I can do once I get the original software tools, which were, think of a lot of the Linux GNU tools, but it written in Fortran and then Pascal. But I wanted to see what I could do with them just as a hack. So we can now go on to the land of movies.
You know,
and now right before we do, go ahead, Eric.
Oh, I was just going to say, it's almost like software anthropology. It's like this really cool, I mean, maybe not anthropology, but the idea of tracking down this knowledge. Like, it's just, it's fascinating. I don't know. I just think it's worth doing and very interesting.
Yeah, well, the one I learned basic back along in the old days on a Wang, where they had it segmented out, and we got like a quarter of the machine, or we got one or two teletypes, and all of our programs were in BASIC, and they were stored in paper on paper tape at 10 characters per second. If you wonder why Unix and Linux are so cryptic with their commands, I have punched my share. I have hammered my share. You don't really punch them, of ASR 33 keys. When you are punching stuff in at 10 characters per second, which is what a lot of the early Unix stuff had for teletypes, you don't want to type any more than you absolutely have to.
I could imagine that is absolutely true. Yeah, my storage only goes back as far as magnetic tape. I was fortunate enough to have a Tandy cassette recorder that I was able to save my basic programs on a TRS-80 back in 83, 84, somewhere around there. But I have great respect for all those, the previous previous methods. Data is data, right? I mean, whether it is a physical card or magnetic tape or magnetic storage or anything, it, you know, that's the thing. It's just, how is it stored? How is it read? What capacity does it have? You know, things have changed, but they haven't changed as much as I think a lot of people might believe they have. The fundamentals of you know, how the mechanics of computing work. So that's kind of what's fascinating to me, is to just understand more about. One of the more interesting things I watched recently is the computer modules in the Apollo missions, and how that physical memory with the rings, like how that worked, and data checking and error correction and redundancy, and like just utterly fascinating if you haven't seen that stuff.
So. There's on YouTube, there's a whole bunch of stuff there. One of the computer museums is worked on resurrecting some of the Apollo guidance computers and stuff. It was amazing stuff. A lot of it was potted circuitry, so digging in to fix things was not exactly simple. Also, if you like to look at or get some information about the IBM stuff, there's a channel called MOSIX, M-O-S-H-I-X, that he does mainframe stuff on IBM hardware. He has done some VAC stuff, emulated. There's actually quite a big 370 emulation community, including emulating a complete IBM Debian Linux for 390s or what have you on an emulator called Hercules that runs under Windows and under Linux. So you can have a Linux machine running an emulator running mainframe Linux.
Excellent. Thanks for the recommendation. I'll check out that MSHIX channel. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, they have resurrected IBM's BitNet and DECnet in a hobbyist version. So your emulated machines or your real machines, depending on what kind of hardware, because a lot of people are hanging on to their VAXs or what have you. And their Linux, I think, has drivers for a lot of this stuff. So you can actually network it like it was 1995. I mean, with the proprietary networks. Yeah, MOSIX actually gave somebody a 370. Of course, it was running on a Raspberry Pi.
I think I remember you saying something about that. Yeah, that is neat. Well, I didn't want to belabor the point. I know you guys want to talk about the movie. I just thought it was fascinating.
Yeah. Actually, I was going to ask you, so we haven't asked you yet, is there any projects or anything you're doing lately? Or anything you're into? Stuff like that?
Yeah, I've been really... I keep getting saddled with older laptops that normal people don't want anymore because they don't run Windows well. Even though it's not necessarily true that they can't, they just don't. And so I've had this string of older laptops that I've I hate seeing hardware go to waste. If it's, you know, I mean, if it's usable. Mm-hmm. And somebody in the world needs a computer somewhere, you know, and if I can fix it and give it to them, then great. So that's kind of what I've been doing with them. So, I just like fixing things. I was the kid who took his toys apart, much to my parents' displeasure. You know, I remember distinctly getting the A-Team van There was the old remote control cars, if you remember, they went forward straight, and then if you mm-hmm. back them up, they would turn.
Oh, and yeah.
You go forward, straight, back them up, turn. Forward, yep. straight, and like... And I was fascinated by this, and I'm like, I have to... And I don't, you know, again, I was less than 10, so I don't know how old I was, but, you know, found my grandfather's screwdriver set and started taking them apart. I was by myself in the living room, and they had all gone for, I don't know, coffee or something, and came back, and there I was with a pile of parts.
Did you ever get it back together again?
I did.
Really? Yeah. See, yeah. That was my downfall. I took all my toys apart, planning to, like, do something with them and investigate, but I never put them back together again, so they just always ended up losing screws and pieces that I needed, and that's what happened.
Me well, too. As you get older, the toys get more yeah. expensive
yeah.
and more complicated, and yes, then they become more of a challenge, but that particular van was very simple, so no, it wasn't difficult.
So I had I don't know if you guys remember this, but they had these LED tic-tac-toe games, and they had like they look similar to, do you remember the electronic football games? There was just the red lights.
Yes.
Red. Yep. It was like that, except it was for tic-tac-toe. But it was, at the time, it was really expensive. And this one was a big one, and at the top of it, there was the plastic chicken and this little ball that was mechanized, and he would do these pecking like you were playing tic-tac-toe against this plastic mechanized chicken. And I took that whole thing apart, and I remember my grandmother coming into my room and seeing just the pile of pieces of plastic parts there and, like, turning red. My grandmother turned red. She was so angry because that toy was so expensive that she bought for me, but I've never seen her that angry before. And I didn't put it back together. I couldn't. I didn't know how. I just knew how to take it apart. But at heart, I'm definitely a hardware guy, I would say. I like taking stuff apart and fixing things. So is Joe. He's really into that, too. You probably know if you've been listening to the show, everything he does with PSPs.
Headphones.
Yeah.
Laptops.
Yeah.
One of these days he'll fix his USB and we won't get this crazy noise.
Are you guys getting that?
Yeah.
It's driving me nuts. Hold on.
Right. So I was going to say we just save the movie till next time.
See if that fixes it.
We can do the movie real quick. I just want to ask Eric. So you're getting these older laptops. How old is old, and what are you putting on them?
The older one was an Inspiron 17R, which I think is between 11 and 12 years old, and believe it or not, it had gone all the way up to Windows 10. I serviced it at some point in the past. I had put a Samsung Evo 9, I want to say 70, 256 gig drive in it. And so it was from a family member. And at that point when I did that, they were ready to get rid of it. And I said, hold on, before you do that, you know, let me put an SSD in it. I think that'll help you. And it did. So they ended up using it for some more years and then just shoved it in the closet and bought. So they don't tell me when they need tech support help. Other than
you're lucky.
So other than when they're just frustrated.
Yeah.
So if they do tell me, they're already mad. So in that case, in the meantime, they had bought at least two other laptops, which was one of the other ones that I got, which was probably 8 years old, something. So they're not like ancient in the sense that they're like, you know, retro hardware. They're just old in the sense that no one's going to run Windows on them.
They're still using iSeries chips. I mean, that was 10 years, wasn't exactly. Too long ago. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really much more about just that they weren't maintained, you know. And that just like anything that's not maintained, eventually it just slows down. And in some cases, they were really gunked up. So the 17R in particular would boot, but it
it was so slow and the fan ran continuously. And so I thought, okay, you know, maybe just keep up, right? And I think it's a Core 2 Duo machine. So anyway, I took it apart and the thermal paste was essentially gone. So the contact wasn't there between the thermal unit and the chip. So cleaned it all up, you know, put some paste on it, cleaned the fans, which, you know, were of course filthy, and there's only one fan. And so just doing that was an enormous transformation. And actually, believe it or not, that old machine still runs Windows reasonably well. And so the person that it was getting gifted to, I said, I would rather put, you know, open source on this Linux for you. I'll help you learn it, you know. And they kind of said, no, I would rather, I feel more comfortable with Windows. And that's fine. I'm not going to, my preference isn't somebody else's, and that's fine.
You should have said, well, you don't get your laptop back then.
Or it's going to cost you.
Yeah, this is going to cost you $200.
Set it up as a dual boot so that next time you can just go, look, I'm sorry your Windows isn't working. Try going over to that. When it starts up, you just click it down once to where it says, you know, Mint. And then that should work for you until I get a chance to get over there and fix it for you.
Yeah. So anyway, so it went just and the other thing was that it had 4 gigs of RAM. And I poached two 4 gig RAM chips out of another system that I was laying around. And so now it has 8 gigs. So between good thermal paste, thermal performance, and twice the RAM, it actually runs respectively well. So I saved the machine from getting, you know, thrown away. I'm just glad they've gave it to me instead of just saying, oh, that old thing, and throw it in the trash like a lot of people do, which just bums me out.
It's also amazing what an SSD can do for an old laptop too.
It's like night and day. Those spinning disks, you know, I have them in servers, file servers and stuff like that, and they're good. It's mass storage is what they're good at, right? Just like you'd never run a tape drive for, you know, day-to-day use because it's too slow, it's still really good backups. So same thing, that's how I see spinning Rust at this point, is they're good enough and fast enough for NAS, you know, devices and stuff like that. So anyway, but outside of that, there's just no need. And stuff is so, I can't believe, even with all the recent price hikes, like how inexpensive stuff is drive-wise. I just got a 1 terabyte Crucial drive for, I don't know, it was like $52 maybe.
You know, that's crazy, right?
It's insane. To me, it's insane to me because of just looking back and knowing that it's, you know, SSD drives. That 256 that is in there was probably $150, $200. At that point.
Joe, you sound crazy.
Yeah, you got to keep working on that USB.
Hey, Joe.
It's not an issue with my USB. It's something with mumble because I switched headsets.
Well, we can't hear it. You sound like you literally sound like you're underwater. Like
hold
this.
On.
That's really what got me started with computers.
No, same thing.
Yeah, it's oscillating. For some reason, it's oscillating. It's just like, yeah. But yeah, that's really what's always been interesting to me. And honestly, I think computers, even though I played around with a Tandy and had, so I had an interest early, and I exercised the interest by just sitting and playing and entertaining myself and having a generous grandfather who, you know, was willing to spend the money on a hobby for me. But then as I got into middle school and stuff, I just kind of got away from it. I really didn't do anything with computers, and then got to be...
Is that better?
Yes.
Yeah, there you go. Well, it depends on your perspective, I guess. You sound...
Thumbs up for me.
Anyway, so yeah, and I think that's a big part of what made it interesting to me. Like, once I learned, and at the time it was, I wasn't using Linux yet, so it was just kind of like, this is Windows. You know, you learn all the tricks and like whoop-de-doo. Mm-hmm. But the hardware was always fascinating to me. Like, what can you do with this? You know, it's like Legos. I was a Lego kid, right? And you could take all the sets of Legos that you have and you mix them together, and then you have all these weird pieces and you're like, what can I make with this? You know, that wasn't on the box, that kind of thing. And that's what I used to do with computer parts. Like, I just have all these pieces of computers and it's like this, you know, what's compatible, what'll work, what won't. And then once I found Linux, that was definitely a part of the recipe. Even though dealing with hardware in Linux 20 years ago, I don't know that people today could even comprehend how frustrating that can be.
Hell.
Oh my goodness.
Dealing with people forget that even dealing with Windows back then wasn't any treat. I remember dealing with all sorts of
easier than dealing with Linux.
No, but there was first party support. There was first party support, and that was really the difference. There were forums where people were talking about it. There were, you know, there were custom firmwares and drivers and stuff being written, but mainly around, at least again, my knowledge at the time was Windows, and I just felt like, yeah, it's not like I didn't have crashes and blue screens and all the horrible things that Windows, you know, does, but I don't know. I felt like it was first class support stuff. And then when I'd go into Linux, it was just kind of like, if you were lucky, you'd find an answer, but if you'd find 10 different pieces of an answer that you then had to.
When was the last time you had to hook up your Ethernet in order to be able to get your Wi-Fi drivers to work?
It's been a long time.
Not long for me. I had to do that not too long ago.
in Windows or in Linux?
In Linux.
Recently.
Yeah, recently here too. Yeah. But it was for that Orange Pi 02. Okay, I couldn't get Wi-Fi working on that.
It was a less common piece of hardware.
Yeah, it wasn't a laptop or anything like that.
It was a desktop. Anyway. It was a desktop I put KDE Neon on. And I was using
What was your Wi-Fi module?
It was a USB Wi-Fi module, yeah. Yeah, that's because I was trying to get Wi-Fi working on it. All I had was I had a couple of USB Wi-Fi modules, and I had to download a driver for it. But I mean, I've done all that stuff, all that same stuff with Windows too. I've had to download network drivers for Windows. I've had to download Wi-Fi drivers for Windows. I remember having to configure audio ports on Windows. Well, granted, we're talking like 3.1 and like 95 days.
Easily find the drivers at the website for whatever piece of hardware that you bought.
And I was able to somewhat easily download the drivers for the Wi-Fi dongle through the, you know, repos
now,
and run it for the Linux. That's very true. Now, right. Beforehand, I had to download it and then run it. And then, but I mean, it's none of it has ever been easy. And it's still not necessarily easy. I mean, I've had times like
I was saying, when it comes to obscure hardware, yeah, there's still that aspect of it where you have to go out and find the proper kernel module and get it all set up, but usually you just don't have to. So unless you're, you know, doing an Orange Pi or some other just PCB or some, SoC, I mean, or you're doing like a tablet, an obscure tablet, and trying to get that to run. I don't know what the heck is happening there with my audio. Unless you're trying to get an obscure tablet to run, you really don't have to dig for like touchscreen drivers or Bluetooth drivers or things like that.
The mark of the change for me is I remember getting into Linux and using things like Gentoo where because of how the state of hardware support, and also the fact that if you built a custom kernel or you compiled from source, that you actually saw a real world translation into performance and compatibility. The reason I wouldn't do that anymore, I mean, I'd do it for nostalgia, just to kind of go back down and do it again. But like,
hardware is so ridiculously overpowered today compared to what it was. And like you said, Joe, unless it's something really esoteric, like you're just not going to have an issue. You know, the hardware issue today is that it's too new. You know, where you need the latest kernel because that's where the drivers are. That's a good point.
Yep.
You know.
Well, I'd run into problems in the past even with Windows. If I downloaded, like, if I had wiped out a hard drive completely and then downloaded just a fresh version of Windows and tried to install it on the system and then had to go search for, like, the proper video drivers and the proper other drivers. I mean, it's gotten a lot easier. A lot of it's gotten a lot easier, but I don't know, anytime I do anything... anything computer wise, I feel like it's going to be expect a challenge. I don't think I've never,
if you heard that last noise.
Hey Joe,
that wasn't me.
Sounds like a
vacuum
cleaner.
If you don't like it, you can fucking leave.
You know, it makes me think of having Windows 95 or Windows 98 install floppies where I, you know, took off the write protect so that I could put the right driver files on it. So that, you know, for my system, whenever I inevitably reinstalled Windows 98 for the 3,000th time, like, I didn't have to go hunting for that driver. It was just literally right there on the floppy. The one of 27 floppies or whatever it was. So, so I don't disagree with you. And I still do on rare occasions. Like, I have in this Dell XPS laptop I have, there's a fingerprint reader that does not work and has never worked under Linux, will never work because nobody cares, right? There's so few of the people using these. The people who do use them are like me, and they're probably too lazy to care enough to... And honestly, at the end of the day, it's such a minor thing. Like, oh, I can't put my finger down and save literally 3 seconds at the most of my time. So there's I think those things still exist, but man, just by and large, when I think of just any general Linux distribution with a generic kernel and, you know, hardware support, I put it on any number of machines. And yeah, I guess unless it's some sort of a specialized piece of hardware, like I can't remember the last time I didn't have a Wi-Fi card work, or, you know, my video card needed me to go in and create a custom XORG file or something. Anyway, actually,
well, I'm so
audio
happy to not
hardware,
do that anymore.
Yeah, no kidding. Audio hardware was where I always had a problem with my Sound Blaster cards and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah, there's still some tablets where you have to go in and set up your own audio
XORG
config XORG files.
Bam. Yeah, it's still audio. If you can tell by our podcast, every once in a while, audio is still sometimes a bit of a juggle. But
yeah, I actually think it's Eric's.
No, I think it's Lugbutt's. I think it's Lugbutt that's feeding back.
No, it's not either. Bullshit.
No, because I've been muted the last couple of times when it's happened.
No, you've been muted, but your headphones. You weren't muted in Mumble.
It doesn't matter because I wasn't blue either.
Right, he's not letting up.
It's not Lugbutt. It's you.
It's not me because I wasn't sending any audio, and you could see that by the fact that, you know, I wasn't turning blue.
All right, children.
Anyways, there was a movie. It was called Delete. It was one of the best movies ever made.
Oh, hang on. We have a theme.
Oh, well, hold on.
Lugbutt, hit the theme.
The Linux Movie Cast.
How do you like that, Joe? Huh, Joe? How do you like
pretty
that,
awesome.
Joe?
That was awesome.
All right. Thank you.
I have zero complaints about that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Ooh, you want me to give a quick synopsis?
of this 3-hour movie.
An AI kills people.
Well, it should not have been three hours long. I want to say that in the beginning. It should have been 90 minutes or less. But anyway, yes. The premise is that there is an AI that somehow has spontaneously come about because of all the computers in the world that are networked together and the internet, and it brought about a biogenesis artificial intelligence. That how that is possible, it never explains.
Nobody programmed it just happened by accident.
But they used word salad, and so yeah. It was, you know, not understandable.
The whole
but
movie then, was word salad.
Oh yeah, I agree.
It was a horrible, horrible word salad.
This AI has decided that human beings are the enemy, and it is going to destroy them to protect itself. So
it was going to stick itself basically in a cold storage in a bunker somewhere and then destroy the rest of the world. It was like
cold storage, not in cold storage, but like protected storage. Like it was going to be EMP protected wherever it went. But
what would it do for power? See, I didn't get
there. Where my understanding of this movie broke down was okay. The word salad was one thing. I set that aside, and it made the movie somewhat enjoyable. And it had some really great actors in it.
Great actors.
Great, yes. It had Seth Green in it. So.
Oh, Seth Green was a mastermind in that.
Right?
He was actually cool. I liked him as an action guy. I thought he was... I never see him as an action star.
He decided, I'm going to...
It wasn't long, but...
They stormed his little compound there, and the 2 seconds he's like, I'm going to go there, and there's like 80 of them out there. I'm going to start shooting, and everything's going to be okay.
And everything's booby-trapped. He's got all that set up.
He did have some nice booby traps.
Yeah, so... But
he went from rope traps to claymores. I'm just saying, it was very Scooby-Doo of him.
So the AI starts out very innocuously, doing
where
smaller
my understanding
things.
Broke down was the fact that the AI. Well, yes, they said it was somewhat childish and it was learning, blah blah blah, and it was acting like a toddler, whatever. But it had decided to destroy or get humanity to destroy itself in order to protect itself. But wouldn't that kind of destroy all of the machines where its brain was currently residing?
Yeah.
And even if it did go into an EMP protected bunker, where would it then get input from in order to have something to react to?
See, you have to worry about that.
Or even
called
just
plot.
Live
this
on.
Movie didn't have it.
Right, right, right.
It's just like it wants to stick itself
where
on a hard drive somewhere
where
and
where
it just sit.
Growth?
But besides the fact of if you're going to destroy the Earth, why your plan as an electronic thing is to have it set off a bunch of EMPs. That makes a whole shitload of sense.
But did y'all notice the similarities between this and another game? Or another
War Games?
Damn it, I gave it away. Another movie we watched. It's
a
War Games.
I actually found a shortened version of this movie. It was I posted it in the Matrix room. And I was hoping you guys had watched it. It was an episode of 7 days. Parker.com, season 2, episode 3. It's basically 20 minutes, and it's this movie.
It's this movie condensed down into 20 minutes, which is all it really needs.
With a much more followable plot.
This is horrible.
So I'll just say this. I won't go into the plot because there's not really much of one, but there was a few things that stuck out in my mind. One was the actual hacking in the movie as far as the technology involved. Did you guys notice like what he was using and what was on the screen when he was doing the encryption breaking and stuff like that? And it's total bullshit.
I wasn't looking that close.
Total bullshit. It was like basically Matrix characters, you know, slowing down,
yes.
but just like
yes.
everywhere. It didn't mean anything. You know, you're not going to see that.
And the visualization of the AI that they built to combat the AI.
Oh yeah, yes. yeah. The AI. Are you talking about the one that the military built, or the second AI that Seth Green had?
The one that Seth Green had, the visualization that they showed of that.
Oh, yeah. The little projector into the little steam or whatever?
That made it look like DNA, and then
yes.
Oh, no, wait, no. I'm getting that confused, because there was the one that looked like DNA was the one that the military created, the antivirus, where there was an antivirus inside of an antivirus that didn't work at all.
Yes. Well, they had a dummy antivirus that was supposed to distract it while the real virus took it out. This was the way I took it to what they were trying to do. So
there's a chance I might have fallen asleep during that part. But then I woke up and went, yeah,
it was only 3 hours.
I will have to say,
car chase or something in the middle.
I didn't watch. Well, yeah, I think not a car chase, but a car
during the car chase, and then woke up near the end of the car chase, or something was actually happening.
It wasn't necessarily a car chase, but there was a car that got taken over by the AI.
I'm not sorry.
It wrecked the car. Yeah.
How does a car get taken over by an AI?
Well, it wasn't the entire car, because this was from 2013, so they didn't have self-driving cars that could be taken over by an AI. What it did was it took over the maintenance functions that were remote-controlled, and it pegged the gas and shut off the brakes.
But how did it do that? There was no Wi-Fi connection or anything, or satellite connection or anything like that in that car.
Magic voodoo.
It's bullshit.
Just so much of that just gave me a headache.
Some people would tell you that you don't have GPS in your car unless you install it, but it's always there and has been for a long time.
Oh, what was that? That one, the North Star?
Yes.
Fist of the North Star?
No.
OnStar.
OnStar. Thank you. Yeah.
So Seth Green was in it for a little bit, and he was there because he was part of this hacking group that, quote unquote, knew this would happen any day.
Dubito?
So they prepared their own AI to combat this AI, and this AI just obliterated it instantly. Like it didn't have a chance, really.
It's such a big buildup for nothing at all.
Yeah. you gotta mention the first time that the kid hacker met the AI.
Oh yeah, that was it took the form of this reporter woman that he has a huge crush on, and tried to make friends with him or get him
merge with him.
Yeah, and that was kind of funny, the back and forth between, because she thought he was a kid and he had a crush on her, and like he named the encryption password Jesse. Yeah, so yeah, there's a few moments like that, but in the end, what wins? Human love always wins, or whatever, or compassion, or whatever you want to call it.
He taught the machine compassion by merging with it.
Yeah, right. And so it kind of took over his consciousness or whatever. And
don't forget the guy getting caught in the cloud of whatever the poison was.
What was that?
And somehow surviving it.
Like cyanide gas or something? Or
I don't know. They list off a bunch of gases and stuff.
Yeah, it was weird.
But he came out of it unscathed.
Perfectly fine. It's all good.
After somebody else walked in there without a gas mask and, carried him out. And it's all cool.
The girl reporter came in and saved him.
Yeah. Yeah, she did, right?
Yeah.
Girl reporter came in. That was another thing.
She just showed up.
They knew that car was having problems starting every time they started it. Why the hell did he shut the car off when he went to blow up the railroad tracks?
Because you have to. Because that's what moves the movie forward. How is Seth Green still alive after he got shot? And how come nobody tried to revive him beforehand? They just wasn't until like much later that they went, let's go see if he's still alive. Like, oh look, he's still alive. We could couple him to life.
Well, they were planning on blowing up the building, don't you remember? And then the guy's daughter had the Wi-Fi connected pacemaker or whatever it was removed.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I will say this movie is number one. Doesn't need to be 3 hours long. Number two,
it'd be hour long.
Was did not look good. They had this weird green filter over everything that just made everything look like vomit.
It was like a made-for-TV movie.
It was a made-for-TV movie. It was made in Canada on the cheap. There was a ton of
like
B-roll.
Sci-fi special.
Like B-roll.
It had Max Headroom in it.
It did have Max Headroom, so it gets a half a star for that. It doesn't get anything for Seth Green because he sucks. He's not a good actor. I don't care what you say. And so it gets another half star because it was an actual tech movie.
The FBI detective. He was also in Sanctuary and No Ordinary Family.
He sucked too. Yeah, the kid was actually okay. I thought he was good, and the girl was hot.
I didn't even watch it. I'm looking at it on IMDb now, but you're leaving out that Matt Frewer is in it. I love Matt Frewer. He's Max Headroom.
That's what Joe just said.
Yeah. Okay, I was ignoring you and reading.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
It's understandable.
Yeah. Was he the vice president or secretary of state or something like that?
He was a high-level official.
Yeah. You never saw the actual president.
DOD? DOD was the guy who... whose kid had the heart thing.
He was NSA.
NSA, that's right.
Yeah.
It was too hard to figure out who was who.
It doesn't matter.
All I know is that one dude just wanted to blow up everything.
Seth's
smashing
new character
his cane
was...
on everything and getting all mad, like, we're going to take over, the military is going to run everything, we're just going to blow
Seth
it all
Green
up.
Seth Green played Lucifer.
Lucifer, that's what I'm looking at now. That was his character name?
That was his hacker name.
The other ones were like Belphegor and other demons.
Okay, hacker name. I get it. I forgot.
Other demons or devils or
whatever. Bob.
Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna watch it after the fact. I appreciate you not giving away too much, but I just watched the 2-minute trailer.
We give away a lot.
To be honest, there's not much to give away. Yeah. So, yeah, check it out. See what you think. You can watch it for free. I watched it on Amazon. It's on the Lugcast folder. It's on Tubi.
It is on YouTube.
It's on YouTube, yeah. So
it's on everywhere. I just look more watch options like everybody, Crackle, Freevee, Plex, Pluto TV, Shout, Roku Channel, Tubi. Like, everyone has it. No excuses not to watch this one, folks.
Because it's the Heat.
We've talked about this movie enough. It was a 3-hour movie. Let's not make it a 3-hour conversation.
I agree.
Giant turd burger.
So we haven't rated it yet.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay, it could be a surprise. Oh my God, are you serious, Mortensen? Okay, so Mortensen gets a thumbs up. Joe, thumbs up. Did you watch this, Lovecraft?
Yeah. I mean, even though it was a little disjointed and all, it wasn't that bad. It could have been a little shorter, though, but I'll give it a thumbs up.
Holy cow. You kidding me?
That's 3 stars.
Well, I give it a thumbs way, way, way down. It's a 3-thumb down that cancels out Warren C. Lovecraft and Joe. Back to 0.
Well, you didn't like Birdemic either, so...
No, I gave it thumbs down. Honky thumbs down. So somehow I got 3 stars.
You didn't like The Last Starfighter either. You have no taste.
Oh, my, nobody liked The Last Starfighter.
I like The Last Starfighter.
Only you.
No, he's not alone. I like The Last Starfighter.
Oh, God, Eric... You had such promise. Well, that's just somehow this is a 3-star movie, so I got to mark it here. And I have the next movie, if you guys are ready. I've got a...
Where's the drum roll?
Hang on. Give me a second here. This is slow. Lugbot's very slow. That's it. I guess that's it. We gotta do better than that.
Did you not listen to it beforehand?
No.
You're like, woohoo, drum roll.
All right.
That was better.
Is that better?
Yeah, that was better.
You just clicked it 3 times.
Yeah, you did.
It's called Saturn 3 from 1980.
Oh, I gotta finish that now, huh? All right.
Oh, did you start that?
I started it a while ago, yeah. That's I'm the one put... with...
Kirk Douglas.
It's a good Kirk Douglas. And, what was the other guy?
Harvey Keitel.
Harvey Keitel, that's it, yeah.
And it, apparently it's playing everywhere, too.
Yeah, I was watching on Prime.
I'm going to play the trailer real quick here.
Saturn 3, a technologically perfect world where mistakes are impossible because the impossible is unthinkable. This year, the inhabitants of Saturn 3 are about to experience the unthinkable. Something is wrong on Saturn 3.
Rated R. Check local newspapers for a theater near you.
All right. Check your newspapers for a theater near you. May still be playing.
I'm on top of that one.
43 years later. So, Saturn 3 is the movie.
Are we assuming this is definitely influenced by Star Wars kind of thing?
Kind of has to be considering the time frame.
I'm sure, yeah.
Look at the cover art. It's like a beefy C-3PO.
Is it?
I mean, it's different, but it's still a gold tone robot where you can see the internals.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it kind of reminds me of a mix of that and the Lost Planet. What is that? Robot.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Ed something, right? Ed.
Not Lost Planet. Is it Lost Planet?
Lost in space. Yeah.
The newer
Lost in Space, definitely.
Yeah, Lost in Space.
Not the original. Good. Wasn't the original like a giant tin can with like weird, like just rubber arms? What it was.
It just he had like air conditioning ducts for arms and go like that.
Basically, a trash can with air conditioning ducts. This has, wobbled back and forth, going danger, danger.
It has Farrah Fawcett, Kirk Douglas, Harvey Keitel. It has some star power in it. Yeah, I've never seen it. Yeah. Well, who knows? You never know. Could be good. It's got 5.1 stars on IMDb. What does Delete have? 0.3. Let's see. Delete 2013.
Greatest movie of all time.
Oh my god. 5.5. Come on. No way.
What?
It has 5.5 stars on IMDb.
Delete IMDb has 5.5 stars.
Yeah, they don't know what we're talking about.
They have Saturn no 3 idea. Is available on YouTube.
YouTube as well. So everywhere. So I'm not even going to bother downloading it. You can find it. It's out there. So let me fill in the movie list here. Somehow Delete got 3 stars.
For being a really good movie.
For having Oscar caliber actor Seth Green in it, apparently.
Come on, he made Robot Chicken. It can't be that bad.
He didn't act in Robot Chicken.
His voice is in Robot Chicken quite a bit.
Yeah, that is true.
You know what? I'll give you Last Starfighter, but Seth Green is one of the worst actors.
Thank you.
He's very creative. He's very good at what he does, but my goodness, he cannot act.
He was decent in Idle Hands.
Idle Hands, about the only thing that I think he was okay in. Yeah. And that was, but oh, that, no, what that was a cool movie, though.
What was the stupid making fun of other teen comedies, teen comedy? Was it called, like, Not Another Teen Comedy or something?
Not Another Teen Movie.
Yeah, not Another Teen Movie. He was actually reasonably suited to that role.
He was funny. Okay in Buffy.
Yes.
I guess he just, once he, like, he could only ever play that juvenile character, and then once he started getting old, it was like, now what?
That's true. He's kind of stereotyped.
Party Monster.
Party Monster?
I don't know that one.
I don't know that one either. Was it good?
Not really. Him and Macaulay Culkin are teen rave druggies.
Oh, here's the synopsis. Based on the true story of Michael Ehrlich. I remember this. A club kid party organizer whose life was sent spiraling down when he bragged on television about killing his drug dealer and roommate. Yeah, I remember this movie. I never saw it, but I do remember it.
I remember just because it was Macaulay Culkin as an adult and obviously going very against grain.
Oh my god, yeah, I'm watching the trailer now. He's like crazy, smoking crack.
Sounds like Macaulay Culkin.
Wait, it's not healthy to be that famous when you're like six?
Yeah, it's really not. It's horrible for you.
Wasn't he in Tusk? Did you ever see that movie?
No. About,
turns into a walrus.
I don't think he was. Yeah, I saw Tusk in theaters when it came out.
Who was that? Wasn't Seth Green. That was...
No, not Seth Green, Macaulay Culkin.
Oh.
But it wasn't Macaulay Culkin?
He has gotten cleaned up, so
I guess not.
I don't remember much that he's done recently, though, but I do remember him saying that he had gone through rehab and was looking a lot better.
That was Haley Joel Osment that was in Tusk.
Oh.
Yeah, he was the podcaster or whatever. It's turned into a walrus.
He was in Sixth Sense.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, but what was AI. He was in a movie recently too.
Oh, was he?
Adult was Haley Joel. Justin Haley Joel. Yeah. What was it?
Justin Long was the one that was turned into Tusk.
Right. Was he? Haley Joel Osment was in The Righteous Gemstones too. He's the son of Baby Billy.
Didn't Uncle Macaulay Baby Culkin Billy. Do a YouTube skit? Where he was reprising the role from Home Alone?
I don't know.
As an adult?
Maybe.
See if I can find it.
You don't have to.
Oh, you don't want to watch it?
you can watch it if you want to. All right. It's almost midnight here.
Yeah. All right, I just wanted to see if I could find what I was...
Covered a lot. Didn't even have to go to the links, really. Unless there's anything in the links you want to talk about?
Anything that catches your eye?
Just let me look real quick. Are you a part of the Lemmy server, Eric?
I have just heard of Lemmy in the last couple weeks, and so I really haven't looked at it, so that's a really long way of saying no. But
the server address is in on the webpage. If you want to become a member, you're free to. And then
okay.
It's I like it better than Reddit. It's an open, it's a federated open source Reddit basically, but to me it's better. I don't really see much here. Oh, well, we can save that for another day. I wanted to talk about the Internet Archive going away, but that might be a long discussion.
Yeah, aren't they being sued?
Yeah, by multiple industries. And that is we store the Lugcast.
That's where a lot of people store the Midcast, too. A lot of things.
Yeah. So.
Hacker Public Radio stores all their stuff there. I think Dan moved all of the tilts over there, too.
So yeah. Until next time, think about what I wanted to ask is, what is a good alternative, just in case the Internet Archive goes away, that makes the Lugcast still publicly available and on a platform that is not in danger of being sued into oblivion?
Now, isn't that also the back end for the Wayback Machine?
Yes,
it is. It is. And that's the shame of the Internet Archive, because they've collected so many different types of information. It's really only some of it that you would consider to be copyright infringement, or, you know, breaching otherwise, encumbered data. It powers the Internet Wayback Machine, which is a bummer because I use that all the time. Mm-hmm. For building websites and stuff like that, like looking back and being able to see like a company that's been in existence for 15 years. Well, what was their website like 10 years ago? Like, that's really interesting to me and helpful to me. And I don't know of an alternative. So, I think that was their mistake, is by just having it all be one thing. Like, if they had, I don't know, done like a better job of like thinking about, well, maybe we should split off different aspects, but anyway, yeah.
Well, I don't think anybody accesses the Linux Lugcast itself. I don't think anybody accesses it straight through archive.org, but I understand as having it as a public back end.
Isn't the RSS fed from archive.org?
Yeah. In other words, I don't think people are going to archive.org to see that. No. If I can set up a different spot to host it and then feed it to the RSS. Yeah.
What would be a reliable location? You know, one of us could die or something, so I couldn't. I mean, I thought about self-hosting, but what if one of us dies or something? Or, you know, then it goes. You never know.
You're not allowed to die because you have the Jitsi, you have the Matrix.
Well, you never know.
The Lemmy. Now you're going to be running the Mumble server. You're not allowed to go anywhere.
Yeah, that's a good point. I guess I
can't. And I need to spread around the logins. I gave most of you logins to the website itself, but I need to spread around the logins to Hostinger where it's hosted, and then to register for the domain.
What Minix needs to do is transfer all this to like a DigitalOcean droplet or something, and so that way if he does die, then we can just get it all from there.
Spin it up, yeah.
Well, we just need to find a place where he can just, when he does his backups, he can send stick his backup somewhere. You have
nightly backups, right? Yeah, I do nightly backups.
See? We just need a copy of the backups. That way if something happens to him, we can just spin up his backups on a server somewhere. And we'll have it right back up.
But it doesn't solve the issue of the Lugcast itself, you know, of the archives of the past episodes and stuff like that.
Right. So well, that can all be downloaded and then stuck on some sort of a server.
I want it. Somehow be publicly like if we could set up a trust or something, the Internet Archive Lugcast Trust, where it's you know, 20 years from now it'll still be available somehow, and it won't cost us an arm and a leg to do that or something. I don't know. Maybe it's just the media is fear mongering about the Internet Archive, but it seems to be getting really serious about the money they're going to have to spend on these lawsuits.
Yeah, there is a lot of like illegal stuff on there. I mean, a lot of your ROM packs with old games are on there.
But it's a library.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not like the people that own Nextcloud are the ones putting the stuff on there.
And see, that's what they're arguing. Their argument is that this is a library. It's just on the internet. And they even lend out ebooks to one person at a time, just like a library does per copy.
That's where the started.
Yeah, well, what's because, the publishing
well,
companies.
Well, digital copies of books are only allowed to be rented out like 20 times, and then they have to be purchased again.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I don't know. I don't know if the Internet Archive is doing that.
No, the prohibitions were lifted during when everybody was on lockdown. So they made it so that the digital copies were basically unlimited to loan out, and as long as they were, you know, eventually one day given back. But everybody was allowed to do it, and so the Internet Archive started doing it. And then when the laws changed back, they didn't stop, and that's where some of the lawsuits started.
Also from the music industry, from the movie industry, not just the publishing industry, but they have it coming from all sides right now. It's a lot of litigation that's going on, and you know, go ahead.
No, I'm with you, and the problem is that they are doing something that is actually really important, whether or not, you know, corporate entities who see it as a threat to their profits or whatever motivates them to, you know, try to take these things down. Like, I honestly think Internet Archive is operating from a very sort of pure archivist standpoint. Like, and think about it. Like, think about how many times you had seen something, read something, whatever it is, on the internet somewhere, and it's been maybe just a few years, but maybe it's been 15 years. And you just, as hard as you try, that thing is just now gone forever. I mean, it may exist on somebody's hard drive somewhere, possibly, unlikely, but, you know, and the idea that all of this stuff that's happening, the whole young internet is basically dead. It's gone, you know? And that's sad. Like, think if we'd done all this stuff in print, those books would exist somewhere. I mean, yeah. Same thing with movies. Movies aren't necessarily all being brought forward and digitized. And you've got all these film copies of movies that are just rotting somewhere and literally being lost to antiquity. And
well,
it's not that you have to save every little bit of everything that we've ever done, but if somebody took the time to create something, express something, and publish it, which is what internet technology is really allowing people to do, then it has merit and should persist somehow.
Not just that, but there's actually a push right now going on across the internet to save some old video games that basically can't be found anywhere else other than Internet Archive right now.
Well, yeah, anything where the it's hosted on a corporate server that they just decide, oh, well, this isn't making money anymore, so let's just get rid of it.
Well, like your less popular Atari games, your less popular Commodore 64, the less popular games that were on the Trash 80, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, most people just don't have them, and they're just going to disappear.
Yeah. And it also seems to be very indiscriminate. Like, they are literally just copying everything. And you're right. Some of that incorporates, you know, vile content that maybe no one ever wants to see or should. Some of it, you know, is certainly illegal, not only from a copyright standpoint, but lots of other laws. But is that, at the end of the day, the point? You know, I mean, philosophically, to me, the point is that they are one of the few organizations that are taking it upon themselves to do that. And I think it's a shame that the reason they can't do it is because it's hurting someone's profit. Like, that's just that's a shitty excuse to me.
And the thing is, that's their excuse, but in reality, it's not hurting their profit. I don't think it's hurting their profit at all.
Burn the whole thing down because a small portion of it is causing someone an issue.
Mm-hmm. They're just all those organizations are, that's how they make their money now, is litigation, you know? Patent trolls, basically, is what they are, except for copyright.
Copyright trolls.
When you employ people as a famous person to do nothing but look for your intellectual property online and then harass people into paying you, so that they don't have to, you know, get served with the lawsuit, like, that's extortion. I don't care what anyone says. Like, you may be the legal patent holder, but the way you're going about it is extortion.
Yeah, you're just preaching to the choir, buddy. It sucks. Oh, I don't really see anything else, but maybe keep that in mind until the next show.
Okay.
Well,
all right. Do we want to shut this down then?
Yeah, I'm tired.
Yeah, me too.
I know you're tired.
It's late.
It is late. Oh, one more thing. We now have 92 subscribers to our Lugcast Linux community.
Oh, cool.
We're about to hit 100. It's pretty good. Woo! Oh, and we have a YouTube comment too.
Oh, do we?
Yeah, I put it in the show notes. If you go to that link there is a comment at the bottom of the video, the one where Honky slept through the podcast.
Not the whole just part. All right,
it's I don't understand it, but it's
promo
there.
SM
peace sign. Anybody
by Samuel Bryan 4542. Okay,
I gave him a like just for the effort, so it's probably a bot or something, I'm sure. Who knows? Anyway, that's all I had.
All right. Let's see. Our next recording date will be September 1st, 2023. Our music is Downright, provided by Cloud 2 and Brome. I'd like to thank Dylan for the use of his Mumble server. Finally, we'd like to give a special thanks to Father Finch, Weeb, Dave Morris, and Tony B. Miss for their help and support of the years. I've been your host for this evening, Honky Magoo. With us tonight has been Eric.
Goodbye.
Good night, Eric.
Good night. Sorry, I was muted.
That's all right. Joe.
Good night.
Lovecraft.
Good night, everybody.
Lugbot.
Oh, shit. You caught me off guard. I mean, you caught Lugbot off guard.
That was like a great Oz moment.
that's all Lugbot has to say.
That's all Lugbot has to say. Minix. Yeah.
Good night, everyone.
Morton C.
C. Good night.
And that minor. That minor might have fallen asleep.
Yeah. We have him here, at least.
Excuse me.
Yeah, go ahead, Netminer. All right. He just left.
Oh, you offended him.
Why are you guys messing with me?
That was a Netminer audio deepfake.
Mm-hmm. ChatGPT Netminer.
All right. Good night, everybody. So at some point, did we want to go live on your Mumble server?
Yeah.
Using that full time?
Well, you know, we could do that. And also, did you see that link I posted in Matrix about, today?
Yeah.
The federated Mumble server? Supposedly, you can bridge the audio between two Mumble servers.
Does that require anything on Delwyn's part? Or?
I don't know. I haven't looked into it yet. I think it's just a bot. Maybe I could run it on mine. And, you know, we could use Mumble Web from mine if you wanted to give everybody a link for Mumble Web, you know, that doesn't want to install the Mumble client. We could at least do that, you know. But anyway, we can get into it on the show.
Okay.
Yeah, it'd be a good project to talk about. It took some effort. We got Lugbot back online. Get some prizes in store for the show.
By the way, thank you, Jackie, for raising the quality of the cast.
Oh, Netminer says thank you for raising the quality of the cast. To you.
We are all distinguished gentlemen here.
And
Joe.
Minix is proving that he's full of shit.
Yes, there's but he doesn't have the porn star mustache anymore. So,
oh, did that's you notice? True.
You finally got rid of it.
Be quiet, Joe.
You finally figured out that it's not 1974.
Well, you got to make a change sometimes, you know.
What made you shave it off?
He made a pass myself, at a woman.
No, I was on vacation and in Colorado, and I just told myself, you know, when I get back, I'm just do something different.
He made a pass at a woman, and she said, "No, I'm not 16. Thanks."
Joe looks Amish goblin with his beard.
An Amish goblin. That's what Amish about. Goblin.
Is that what it said? I couldn't really understand it.
That's a very odd
Joe
adjective.
Looks Samish goblin with his beard.
Samish? What's a Samish? I look like a sandwich goblin?
Yes.
Joe looks like Samish goblin with his beard.
He's a little rusty. And just bringing him out of storage.
You know who likes the beard?
Blind people?
Jackie likes the beard. That's why I have the beard.
Alright, good for you.
Ah, yes, my lady's pleasure is worth it.
Exactly.
What does that mean?
It means that he's got a lovely partner. And you've just got a cat.
Oh, by the way, there was some cat drama this week. I posted about it in Matrix. Poor Buster. He has hyperthyroidism, I discovered from the vet. So
So what, his heart rate is all over the place?
No, he was like, had diarrhea for a few days and then was throwing up too. And he never throws up. I've had him for 3 years. He's thrown up twice since about.
So for him to twice.
Throw up every day for 3 days, I was like, I got to take him in. So I took him to that urgent care vet. And here he comes now. He knows I'm talking about. Come on. And they gave it his blood test and all that and said, yeah, his thyroid is super high and he needs to take medicine for it. So, you know what? As soon as he started taking that thyroid medicine, like he started eating and drinking again and he was back to his normal self. It was weird. It was like it was that far off. It was supposed to be between like point something and four. And it was at 16, so he was pretty high. But it's also why he's like obsessed with water, and he eats all the time, but he doesn't gain any weight, they said. And his coat's kind of greasy a little bit, oily. That's all from the thyroid. He has all those symptoms. So hopefully this will get him back in shape.
How much is the thyroid medicine?
I don't know. But the whole visit was like $400-something. You know, like people think, you know, oh, you just see a cat on the street, just grab it and you got yourself a pet. They don't realize how expensive animals can be.
It didn't used to be this bad. And
I don't think so. I don't remember when I was a kid being that bad expensive.
The shots aren't that bad. The first run of shot that you get and even the spaying or neutering isn't that bad. But anything else after that anymore is just atrociously expensive. It's kind of worth it to get pet insurance.
Yeah. It's like if
having a small child.
If something goes wrong with your animal, your dog or your cat, man, you're going to be paying a lot. And that was just for lab work, you know, blood tests, thyroid tests for the visit itself was over $400. And they gave me a bottle of medicine and
lab work is lab work. I mean, lab work on people is just as much work and just as much expertise as it would be on animals. So,
and I'm not saying it's outrageous. Well, I mean, it's expensive, but I would pay it anyway, just because I want, you know, since I took the initiative to have a pet, I should have the initiative to take care of it the way it needs to be taken care of. You know, like it's different. Like my grandpa. He had dogs, and he would just throw out food. He never bought dog food. Just whatever rotten food scraps he had, he would throw them out in the yard. Or he would go to the Dollar Bread store and buy a bunch of loaves of bread, and that's what they ate. And whatever rats and possums they could find, you know. They were just his dogs, but they just stayed outside. And country dogs, you know. Now it's like taking care of a kid almost.
Yep.
Well, that's part of the reason things are so expensive. Once the insurance companies get into the act, prices start going up.
Yeah, that's true too.
So that was my adventure with Buster.
Who's scared of Mortensen?
He's like a totally different cat now. Like he's back. You know, he was like real kind of like acting really weird, like jumping on the bed and just staring at me and meowing like he wanted something, but I didn't know what I could do for him, you know. Felt bad. But now he's like different cat.
Yeah, well, those of us with thyroid problems have to stick together.
Do you have thyroid problems, Netminer?
The problem is I have no thyroid.
So do you have to take a artificial thyroid hormone or whatever?
Yes, I have to take artificial thyroid hormone, and I've had my throat cut professionally twice, once in 87 and 97.
So do you get Medicare or anything to help cover that?
I have Medicare. I used to have Medicaid, but Massachusetts got real snooty about anyone who had any money in the bank, so they dumped me. And they had me They transferred me to something called the Mass Health Connector. And the Health Connector sent me a letter this week saying, sorry, you don't qualify because you have access to Medicare.
Yeah.
Which is really helpful.
My neighbor, she just got on Medicaid. She has, it's some autoimmune disorder, but basically, they if you want to get on Medicaid, your assets now belong to the state or the government now, you know. Which I mean, I kind of understand because being on Medicaid means that you can't afford to pay for insurance, I guess, or something. But it's weird. It's like you can't have any kind of assets.
But shouldn't
be like that, I don't think.
The thing is that...
Isn't that the way it goes, Netminer? Is that how it is?
The hard limit is like $2,000, which back in the 60s when all these numbers were set, that was, you know, you could buy a car for that. Nowadays, you can't buy a roller skate.
And the limit has still stayed the same, huh?
Yeah, they haven't changed it. Also, I have an income that they're okay with. However, if I had more than one, maybe 2 months of my income in the bank, so I could do things like pay my taxes, they didn't like that.
Yeah, that's what my neighbor said. She said that her mom left her some money in the bank, you know, or willed her some money when she passed away. It wasn't even much, you know, but basically either give that to the government or hide it in some way in order to have her Medicaid, yeah. You know. It wasn't even hardly anything.
I was going to say that there is ways around that. I mean,
yeah.
Have a trust that all your money goes into and then just pull out from it as needed.
An annual, or you can do it monthly.
But then the assets belong to the trust is the whole thing that we're saying there.
Cars,
yeah, you let the trust own the car, the house, all the assets, and then you don't own anything. So, or... I guess you could also do it with an LLC. I'm not sure if it would be the same way. No, because you would own the LLC. So.
Yeah, well, what happened to Medicaid in Massachusetts is when I turned 65, they wanted a list of all my assets. I thought that was just for cost recovery when I passed. No, it was designed to figure out who had any money in the bank, and then they would be dropped from Medicaid.
Tony's with us tonight. How you doing, Tony?
Hello, Tony.
Hello.
How are you feeling, Mortensen?
Overworked. Stressed about work. Anxious about my test results next week. Oh, yeah, definitely. Not appreciated at all.
Yeah, I saw your post about your levels being higher than they should, and I don't like to hear that.
Yeah, so basically what they came down over the course of 12 months, which wasn't very much, they went up in 3 months, the same amount.
Back to the same?
Yeah, and they shouldn't be going up.
Huh. How do you feel?
Unless you got something they didn't find.
Well, I mean, I have periodic CT scans, and they're just inconclusive. They don't show no cancer. They just don't show any definite cancer.
Right. Now, how do you feel, just not the worry on your mind, but just health-wise in general?
Not great.
Not great?
No.
You have pain?
I did before my last doctor's appointment. I was having pain in my... like in my intestines, like sharp pains, which is also isn't a good sign. Yeah. But No, I've been really tired, and well, I mean, that could just be from 70-hour work weeks.
Damn, we're working the shit out of you.
And stress, lots and lots of stress, we'll call us that, too.
Stress will also increase the levels, yeah. Stress, yeah. Smoking, any inflammation in the body. There are a few instances where people's levels rise and they don't know why. Those are exceptions. Usually it rising is bad, very bad.
I hate to hear that, buddy.
Break out the Rick Simpson's oil back.
Oh, yeah. That Rick. Are you still taking that oil?
I wasn't, and I'm wondering if that's why they went up, because I stopped. I mean, I didn't take it for the 2 months I was in Thailand, but when I came back, I had taken it, so my levels in... So I took it in March, so in April they were lower again, but I didn't take them between the end of March and July when I had my last blood work done.
Now, do you think that helps? Or do you think you'll start taking it again? Or?
Yeah. I need to buy some more because what I thought was, I thought I had asked for RSO gummies and like a lot of them and five containers, but only one of them is Rick Simpson oil. The other ones aren't.
Where are the other ones?
The one says resin, R-E-S-I-N, or rosin, R-E-S-O-N. And I forget what and the other one really didn't say anything on it. So just regular medical marijuana gummies.
All right. Well, at least they have some use. It's not completely useless. Just not what you were looking for.
Yeah. Did you know that there's now 39 states that have some form of legal marijuana?
Oh yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, just a couple years ago it was still less than half. It was like 23. And Ohio has, I think it got enough signatures to be on the ballot for full legalization in Ohio.
Oh, nice.
The joys of money. Everyone saw how much money Colorado made, and so now they're all coming around. Let's collect taxes.
Well, Ohio voted it down because they put it on the ballot in Ohio, but they put it on the ballot so only four billionaire companies would be able to have the dispensaries. And then but when that didn't go through, the Ohio voters voted it down, even though they were like 60 to 70% for legalization. And what happened? So the politicians put it through so they could start opening the dispensaries, but it wasn't as restrictive. And now the people have put a referendum on the ballot. Is that what it is? Referendum?
Yeah.
So, they weren't happy with the controlled scope of the legalization.
You know, Oregon has decriminalized all drugs.
Really?
Interesting, yeah. As far as, possession for personal use goes. Still can't sell them. Now, decriminalize doesn't mean that you can't get a ticket or stuff like that. I think it means that you can't go to jail.
No, there's still things like public intoxication, driving under the influence, and things like that, I'm sure. But, I can understand why having it on you and not having enough to turn around and sell it would be legal enough.
Well, would they consider possession, like a certain number, a certain amount as possession with intent to distribute?
I'm sure they do.
Okay, Oregon, decriminalizing drugs in Oregon eliminates penalties for possessing small amounts of any drug, including cocaine, heroin, and methamphetamine. That's what it means. So, like, you couldn't be a drug dealer, have a bunch of coke on you, and just selling it on the block. Now, Portugal did the same thing, except that with their program, you don't get arrested, but you go to a...
what do you call it? Like a, not a detox. Yeah, rehab. Rehab. Some kind of, you're enlisted in some kind of rehab program.
Oh, I have a funny aside on this subject. A Canadian marijuana company is buying some of the brands from the Bud Group. So we may be seeing commercials where this bud's for you, and it means a green bud, not a liquid one. Because the
Anheuser-Busch, that the bud, that who makes Budweiser?
They're selling some of their other brands, boutique brands or what have you, to this Canadian green bud company.
Hmm.
Now, is it legal in Texas?
No.
No.
Oh, okay. So it's kind of interesting up here in Massachusetts where it's legal, so it's kind of, you know, it used to be, you know, it was like taboo if you like smelled weed and stuff like that, and now it's just become kind of, you know, everyday thing. But at the same time, it's more people are doing it, but some people are still kind of stupid about it. Like I had, people, occasionally I'll have people who like, I work in produce, so there's some people who rep like different companies. I think this one was for, she represented just a type of salad that we had, like a bag of salad. She represented one of the companies. It wasn't like a Dole. It was like Queen of Greens or some weird brand like that. So she showed up and she just reeked to fucking high heaven of weed. At what point isn't it? Because I always looked at it as the same thing as alcohol. Because, like, you know, effects like
being
wise,
intoxicated.
Yeah, effects wise, it's somewhat similar. You know, if you can understand how much you can do, you can affect how you're going to operate. Because it's great. It's different, but you know, if you understand what you have, you know, you can understand how it's going to affect you. It's not going to be like something where the second you take it, you're just completely, you know, sitting on the floor drooling for hours. But
there's also various companies that are working on modifying cannabis in order to remove certain cannabinoids to get different effects from said cannabinoids.
Sure. My point being, since it's legal, people think that it's okay just to wander around and smoke it whenever, however, and people have to realize that it's still the same as like
waking up and
drinking a fifth of scotch and then deciding to go into fucking work. You gotta learn how to you still have to act and write. You know, it may be legal, doesn't mean you can do it and then try to go to work.
Yeah, but I get your point.
You gotta learn how it's, you know, balance it out. You're not gonna drink right before you go into work. You're not gonna smoke and then go into fucking work.
I don't know who you're working with.
But one time I made that mistake when I was in college, and I was working in a warehouse as a forklift driver, and
yeah, that's a little bit of a whoopsie.
I always walk to work. And then so I could smoke on the way to work, you know. And I remember one day I lifted a pallet up onto the top shelf, and I was right under a hanging heater hanging from the ceiling.
Yeah, yeah.
And it broke the heater from its straps. Ooh. And then it was a gas heater.
Yeah.
So immediately it was like, holy hell, everybody get the fuck out of the building.
Yep.
And I just remember, I'm never doing that again, because I was really high and my attention wasn't right and my coordination and stuff. So it's very similar to drinking as well.
When I was about like 19, when I first moved out of my parents' house, I moved into a place with it was a house with a bunch of other younger guys around 19-ish, and the kid across the hall from me was just a big old fucking stoner, one of those guys who just did nothing but smoke weed, talk about smoking weed, and you know, so I was working overnights, so I'd wake up at like 10, 11 o'clock at night, you know, and then he'd be awake and smoking, and then occasionally I'd wake up and smoke a little with him. And then, but I then had like a 45-minute drive into work, and it was a little bit different, but not by much. But I was working by myself and overnight in a grocery store, so it still wasn't good, but at the same time, I didn't do it that often.
Yeah.
Actually, my brother used to live in a instead of a room in a house, he used to live in a small trailer parked in our driveway. And some funny looking plants started growing up by the door of the trailer. Also, I never did it, but I figured that if I drilled a hole in that trailer and put a straw in it, I would have the largest bong in Massachusetts.
Good possibility.
Also, he was talking about back in the day, we're talking 70s, 80s. It wasn't legal, but there was a lot of wink-wink. If the cops found you, they would, you know, shred your weed, and, you know, they didn't necessarily lean on you too hard if you gave them the three bags full sort of attention. You know, you weren't an asshole about things. Also, he said, my brother, who has far more experience with such substances than I do, says that the modern weed is sort of turbocharged, so it's a lot more powerful than the stuff that he was doing, you know, 30 years ago.
Yeah, I don't find that all that surprising.
I think it's funny, too, that I work with the I work for the UFCW, the United Food and Commercial Workers Union, and we're actually starting to unionize some of the cannabis workers around there.
Oh, really?
Yep. Because of the fact of a lot of the smoke shops and stuff, they can't. A lot of them are feeling like they're not getting any help or anything. You know, they're not being treated fairly because of the situation with trying to run a cannabis shop, because it's legal, but it's not.
Obviously, they're not getting treated equally. I mean, it's still they're working on making it federally legal, but it's federally illegal, so they can't even like use a bank.
Right. So it's because of that situation, a lot of the workers are feeling kind of crappy. But we've actually unionized several of the shops around, being in Massachusetts and Rhode Island.
Well, I've not really looked into it, and I probably could for my depression and whatnot. But some people were saying that to get to a legal, there's a dispensaries where you have to have a prescription, and then there's the other shops, which are not necessarily as accessible.
No, they are. They're very accessible. So what they have now is, like, there's one. I've only been to one, but I've heard from other people I've talked to as well. The one that I went to was it's split into two different parts. One where it's the prescription side, and there's one that's the recreational side. The prescription side is I'm not sure. I don't remember what they are price wise, but they are they're stronger. It's stronger stuff. And then the recreational side, all it is if you have a card saying that you can get it, you can go over to the prescription side, and it's something that looks like almost like a pharmacy counter, as opposed to you go to the other side, which was just like when I went there, it was about 4 or 6 registers where you just walked up, told them what you wanted, and then walked out. The biggest hassle of it was I had to show my ID like 3 or 4 times, like 3 times, I think. It was once to walk into the place, once to walk up to the door to get into the next area, and then possibly once again by like the register area. They just really want to check to make sure that you are. And that was what I experienced. I've talked to other people where they said they showed their ID like once the entire time that they were there at the dispensary, and all it was like a more open area. It's from place to place, but when it comes to accessibility, it is you quite literally just walk in and that's it. If you have a legal ID, you can get served. Well, served. You can purchase whatever you want.
Clearly, my information is not current, but thank you.
What
for
about felons? Can a felon buy legal weed?
Yeah, if you have a legal ID, you could just walk in and buy it.
Really?
Oh, they're not okay. Doing background checks on you. You have a legal ID. You just show them your ID and go.
Interesting.
Like I said, there's a prescription side, and the prescription stuff is a bit stronger. But, I mean, that's about the only difference.
And that's where you go.
Well, that's Massachusetts, from my understanding.
I mean, that's where you personally go, to the prescription side.
Well, I don't have a prescription.
I thought you had one.
What the hell is that?
Not me. What is that?
It's a Lugbutt or Joe.
It's not me. It's not Lugbutt.
That had to have been Joe. I'm not sure what he's talking to, but it isn't us.
It was like they were drilling into his house.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, there was an issue with my USB ports. So hopefully it doesn't happen again. I'll make sure to mute myself before I disconnect power again.
Yeah.
If you want to dip your toe into the realm of marijuana, I would suggest something like gummy edibles. I know lots of people who take gummy edibles right before bed, and just to help them sleep. Most people just take like one.
My friend, he went to San Diego and brought me back a big handful of different vapes, different THC vapes, like indica and sativa and stuff. And man, it doesn't take much. Just a couple of hits, and you know, I could see a vape lasting me like 6 months for just one. But that's the way I think it should be done. Either that or edibles, because you can't even smell it, you know.
Yeah.
On you, what you do with the flowers.
Well, unfortunately, I'm taking a handful of pills, or will be shortly.
Well, there should be minimal interactions.
Methamphetamine?
Not yet.
Yeah, he's not me.
Man, there's something to this WNBA. You guys got to watch this. They're wearing these little boy shorts out there. They got these long, thick legs. And holy cow. I think I found my new...
topless female boxing. You just hope it goes the distance.
What do you call it? This is my new type, you know?
Yeah, that reminds me of one of my favorite YouTubers. She calls herself Shoeless Joe.
What is Joe into anyway?
Balls.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll just talk about it. You want to start the show?
Start the show, him. Well, do we want to go over what, like,
what have you been watching?
All right, back to Linux.
All right.
Linux is later. This is the bullshit time.
I watched this movie called Delete. Did y'all see that one?
I did too, yeah.
Well, we can keep that in. What are we
doing? Yeah, let's wait. Yeah.
I feel like we got to do a little bit of, not necessarily housekeeping. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Because we got everything between the possible new Mumble server. Well, I don't think it should be a new Mumble server. To we've had some discussion about changing around the format, kind of. Actually, it's more of just the order in which things happen.
Rearrange a little bit, yeah.
Right.
Well, me and Honky talked about at the top of the show doing,
our main deal, which is our projects. And if anybody has any Linux questions, or like the LUG part, the user group part, and then after that, do the movie thing, but keep it pretty quick and concise. And then if we have any time left over, maybe some links or whatever, you know, whatever we need to get into to fill up space. But I thought maybe that'd be a little better to start the show that way, since it is a Linux Lugcast after all. So,
right.
We can't hear you, Joe. You're not. Are you talking to us?
Yeah. So that way, but before the show, we should still talk about whatever it is that we're watching.
Oh, yeah,
so that way it gets truncated and moved to the end of the show.
Yeah, right. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's.
This is our time to bullshit about whatever.
Right, exactly.
Morrissey's still playing Episodal. I haven't played that in a long time. I'll go first. I watched, I finished Eerie Indiana. That show on Tubi that's like a early 90s.
It was good back then.
Yeah, it was great. I've never seen it before. So it only ran for 18 episodes. But then there's a new one, too, I saw on Tubi. But it's basically like kind of like a Twilight Zone, but for teens or tweens or whatever. And but it has a lot of adult references and stuff. Like they reference the log lady from Twin Peaks and just different. And Joe Dante is the one who produced it and the creative director, which I'm a big Joe Dante fan. So that's on Tubi. I recommend that if you have, especially if you have kids, I think they would love it. I mean, I don't think it's that dated, you know. It's early 90s, but it's still really good. The writing's really good. I also watched a terrible Stephen King movie on Tubi. And I don't remember this coming out at the theater, but apparently it did. And maybe y'all have seen it, but it's called Riding the Bullet. And it's about this guy. It takes place in 1969, and this college kid basically is trying to get home to see his mom, and he keeps having these weird flashbacks of death and stuff like that. And I made it maybe two-thirds of the way through it, and I was like, it's totally nonsensical. None of it connects to each other. It's just trash. And I couldn't finish it. It's called Riding the Bullet. But other than that, I haven't really had time for anything else. What about you guys?
The only thing I've watched, and I haven't watched much since the last time I was on, and I know I didn't make last show, but has been the newest 6 episodes of Record of Ragnarok.
Record of Ragnarok. That's a Marvel show?
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
No.
No. It's an anime.
Oh, okay. I thought it had something to do with Thor.
Thor might show up in it. I mean, most of the rest of the Norse pantheon has.
But not Marvel's Thor.
No.
Yeah.
Ragnarok, the coming apocalypse brought forth with Fenrir.
You're doubled.
Yeah.
Like you're
not Jitsi muted on Jitsi.
Ragnarok is what now? The pantheon of what?
He was talking the original myth in regards to Ragnarok and Fenrir. Basically kicking off the end of the world, but the Record of Ragnarok is basically all the gods from all the pantheons have decided that they're bored with humanity and to kill them off. And one of the Valkyries set it up so that there was a tournament between the gods and all the people of history, essentially 1v1, and the like best of, what is it? I don't know if it's 7 or if it's 13, but the I think it's 13 because it's 4 and 4 right now, or 5 and 4 right now. So essentially they have a tournament set up, and one god versus one person, and it's like they pick the best people that they can to face off against whatever god gets picked. And yeah, there's a brutal battle with a whole bunch of backstory in it.
And is Pokemon?
Not really. I mean, it's more gladiatorial.
I thought it was Pokemon.
So like, Thor, I choose you.
Yeah, except it's all the gods getting together and choosing Thor.
Use it's electric anime. Hammer.
Yeah.
Anime. Maybe that's where I got it. I thought it had something to do with Pokemon.
No, it's actually pretty good. You should check it out.
I will. As long as there's not like annoying girls screaming and yelling and over dramatic, and I don't mind the bouncing boobs. Honky is making a signal with his hands as if he had large breasts and they were undulating.
It's extremely minimal. I mean, there is Aphrodite. There's not a whole lot of the screaming, but literally, instead of a bra, she has two statues that holds up her giant boobs.
That's okay. Honky likes it.
What was that? Did I make that noise at some point?
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't remember that?
No.
You were probably talking about his cat.
I don't know where that came from.
Good possibility.
And what else? So that's about all you had time to watch?
Well, that's all I've watched. Yeah. I mean, it's been a bajillion degrees in the garage. So.
Heck yeah, it is.
There was a couple of days where it cooled down and it was really nice out there. And mostly I went out there and I picked up heavy things over and over again until I couldn't stand up straight.
Morency, I know you got a whole list to go over.
On Netflix, I watched A Man Called Otto. That's the newest Hanks movie.
How was it?
It was good. It was
Is that the Western one?
No.
He's an old, that's the old grumpy old man, right?
Yeah.
Grumpy old man. There's a Western one?
Yeah. What was it called? News of the World or something before that one?
Oh, okay.
The Tom Hanks movie?
Yeah.
I never saw it.
The new Gal Gadot movie, Heart of Stone.
Oh, she does something besides Wonder Woman. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's a nice action movie. I assume it's a BBC show on Netflix called Marciella. It's a crime drama. And a Thai movie called The Murderer. It is so funny.
Really? I'm going to add it to my
list. I did another movie that was on Netflix with The Rock and Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, that's Red
something.
Red Notice? Red, dang it.
Morency, is that The Murder or The Murderer?
The Murderer.
Okay.
Have you seen the new episodes of Murderers in the Building? Only Murders in the Building?
Yes, I have. I have The Murderer on my Plex. Both the Thai with English subtitles and the dubbed.
When an English man is accused of murdering his Thai in-laws, his wife is the only witness that stands between guilt and freedom. I got it on my watch list now.
Yeah, Red Notice.
I've watched it twice.
You talking about it makes me want to watch The Raid 1 and 2.
Dude, all Asians aren't the same. That's an Indonesian movie.
I don't care. They do a lot of awesome fighting in that movie.
And this is a comedy, besides.
Yeah, but he just said, like, everybody ended up dead. And that's The Raid.
Did you know that there's a Korean series on Netflix called Delete?
I did not, but really? I know that there has been a couple of different series called Delete, and it took me a little while to make sure that I had the correct one.
Yeah, I looked it up.
There's like a dozen Delete movies and miniseries.
Is there? This one is about a cell phone that you can take a picture of somebody and that it erases them from your life or something. Anyway,
speaking of that, I saw this short video. I don't remember where I saw it, but. Somebody was coming up and getting an author's autograph in a notebook. They had it open for them to sign, and they drew a cute caricature and then drew their name really big and then closed the book and looked at it, and it was a death note.
Death note.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you need the person's name and a picture of their face, yeah. And then if their name's written in the book, they die.
That's pretty funny.
I saw a revenge, female revenge movie called I Am Rage. It was one of those hunting people kind of movie.
Did that take place in the desert or something?
No, I think it's on an island.
Okay. I saw one similar to that on Tubi, but I couldn't remember the name of this girl they thought they killed, but she was not dead, so she came back.
Did they kill her husband, too?
I think so, yeah. And she had a little girl with her. I don't know if it was their daughter or something, but I started that. For some reason, I didn't finish it. Maybe
that have Angelina Jolie in it?
No, it was
so many of them.
Low budget movie.
But there's so many of them. Grave.
I'm sure. Yeah.
No, it
wasn't one, two, and three.
Yeah.
And the remakes of I Spit on Your Grave. One, right. Two, and three.
Oh, did I talk about this last time? I saw the new Evil Dead movie.
Oh, did you actually do the one that has like nothing to do with any of the other Evil Dead movies?
Yeah, it takes place in an apartment building.
Right.
And it's instead, you know how they had the tape. That
right.
In the original Evil Dead that they would play, and it brought back the ghost. This time, they have a record, and this kid is like a DJ, and he finds these evil records in a crypt. Like, I can understand a tape because you're required. Who is pressing these evil records? Like, that has...
The Catholic Church.
Yeah, I guess so. And so, yeah, that's what brings back... the spirits and stuff, and it was actually not bad. If you don't consider it, like if you don't compare it to the original Evil Dead's, it wasn't bad as its own thing, you know. But it wasn't anything compared to one and two.
I thought it meshed well with the set.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Look,
it had some cool gore in it. It's definitely worth a free watch on Max, I think. Are you talking to us, Joe? Okay.
So you were talking about like a. Sorry, real quick. You were talking about a movie about a cell phone where you take a picture and you can delete somebody. Did you ever see there's some movie with John? It was I think it was supposed to be based on a Stephen King novel, but it was it had John Cusack in it, and it was something where like this phone where phones were had something in it, and when people heard it, they like got crazy with this weird rage thing.
No, I so didn't see that.
Had that sort of kind of zombie apocalypse style rate where everyone would get all rage crazy, but it was every time they pick up a cell phone, that like some weird tone would play in their head and just drive them crazy.
Cell,
that was it. Yes.
Oh, that was on the other night. Yeah, Cell. That doesn't it have Samuel L. Jackson in it?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, John Cusack and Samuel L. Jackson. What?
Doesn't everything have Samuel L. Jackson in it?
Yeah, everything does. But this one really has him in it.
Not Deep Blue Sea 2 or 3.
Well, that's because he got 8 in 1.
Killing It, Season 2 came out. I'm not loving it as much as the first series season.
That's a comedy?
Yeah, it's a comedy. Justified. The new spinoff of Justified, going pretty good.
I had started originally watching Justified, like, first season, and then just stopped for some reason.
I need to watch it. Everybody tells me it's great. It's good, isn't it, Morency? Everybody tells me it's great.
I really enjoyed it, yeah.
Is that Timothy Oliphant?
It is, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was great in the Santa Clarita Diet.
Yeah, I
thought
I like
that
him.
Show was hysterical.
Oh, it was a fantastic show. I loved it.
I've watched these two very terrible animated shows. One is called Strange Planet, where everything's a non-offensive. They don't call things by the proper names. Like coffee is jitter water.
Oh my god.
But it's not just that. It's like everything they're talking about is some skewed way of saying it. And then there was another one about zoo animals after the apocalypse. They're like driving cars and yeah. I forget what that was called.
Sounds cool.
I'm not seeing it on my list of TV shows on my Plex.
Have you seen Fired on Mars yet, the animated show?
No.
That one's pretty good. It's about this Mars colony and this, you know, once they're there, you can't leave. They build this whole, like, corporate colony, and this one guy, he gets fired. He's got nowhere to go, so he just kind of hangs out and gets into all kinds of shenanigans, and it's pretty good. It's kind of funny. He's real pathetic, actually.
I will check that out.
Anyway, that's just another adult animated show.
I also saw the new season of Solar Opposites.
Oh, how's that?
And it's less funny, and I don't know, I think the new voice of the main character is terrible, you know, because they got rid of Justin Roiland when he was accused of...
domestic violence thing.
Domestic violence, even though no charges were ever made, just the allegation itself.
That's
killed
how
his
it
career.
Is, you don't
yeah,
have to
yeah,
be...
He's,
just somebody has to say something and you're canceled.
Yeah, I've only seen one person recover from it, and that's Chris Hardwick. And he had extensive documentation proving his side.
Johnny Depp? He took it to court and won.
Yeah.
Well, he won in court, but he's kicked out of all the...
Pirates, but they're talking about bringing him back into Pirates.
Yeah.
Really?
But, oh, okay.
It's been back and forth because he has other issues, and so he was going to be. He got offered. I've heard so many stories about, like, he got offered Pirates back, and then he'd accepted, and then he declined, and then I had heard that his drug issue had kind of gotten out of control, so he was back in rehab and wasn't going to be doing it. And I don't know. So I would say that his career hasn't made a comeback yet, but he's maybe not in a position to make that comeback.
I bet he wouldn't.
And out of Harry Potter too.
Right.
He wouldn't have. He would have never even been in a position to make a comeback if he hadn't won that lawsuit. I bet.
Or that oh no, he was canceled until after yeah. that lawsuit.
Yeah. But I mean,
also, what's his name? Justin Majors from Lovecraft Country. Ever watch that show? He has some allegations against him, and supposedly he's been canceled, but I don't know if they were true or not. Yeah, I really like him.
Kane from the Marvel right. stuff.
Yeah.
We'll see where that goes.
So in Solar Opposites, the Corvo that Justin Roiland voiced, in the beginning of the first episode, one of the other characters shoots him in the neck, and then they have to go get a ray gun to heal his throat, and it changes his voice.
Yeah.
To a very annoying British accent. It just doesn't fit at all with the character.
That's what happened with Squidbillies when what's his face? The Unknown Henson got canceled. I know you hate that show, Morton, but I love it. Unknown Henson got canceled, and Tracy Morgan replaced his character, which was totally opposite of how he is, and then the whole season sucked because that's all you could focus on. Was his voice.
Somebody recommended Lasso to me, and I watched it, and it was pretty funny.
Yeah, I've heard that a lot. I haven't watched it, though.
Oh, I had to pick up a copy of Spawn. Hopefully I'll get to watch that soon. Michael Jai White movie.
I think I've only watched that, like, maybe once.
I watched it, not
so long
ago.
It's a really good movie.
Oh, well, I don't remember. Hold up. I wouldn't say it's really good, but... I would say if you haven't seen it in a while or you've never seen it, it's worth a watch.
I'm really surprised that it didn't, you know, make a series or, you know, at least a series of movies.
I'm not. Now the animated series was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That and the Max animated series
was
really good.
Three seasons
at the same time.
Yeah.
No, but every time I see John Leguizamo, I have to think about that role.
That role?
That role?
Little of the hundreds of others he's probably done.
Such a weird reference for John Leguizamo. The weird monster creature in Spawn.
Yeah, and The Pest.
Oh, a new Babylon 5 movie came out.
Yeah, I saw that. What is that even about?
Is it a reboot, a continuation?
I have no idea.
I've never watched anything Babylon 5 before.
You need to watch
Babylon 5 was amazing. So he the guy who wrote it, it's from Columbus. He plotted out this entire story. He started on a budget of nothing. I think all the special effects were on an Amiga. And the early seasons, the costumes and the special effects are horrendous. They are terrible. But the storyline
is so good.
The storyline, the character development, how it weaves things, there's like predictions that are going on. It is so great. And then they were supposed to have two spin-off series that carried the storylines on. And the one, I think, the Crusades and the Raiders? The Rangers? The one only lasted one season. And that was sad. It looked like it was going to really good places.
Watch, at least go through the, what's the name of the war that they were having? The Dark War or whatever? Till the end of that.
Peacekeeper Wars?
No, it's not the same series. But anyway, go through that, because after that, it kind of wanders a little bit, like the security officer, I forgot what his name was, but he gets paranoid and kind of goes off, and they, you know, it gets really weird, but at least watch it through the Shadow Wars. Yeah. And it's some of the most gripping, like, storytelling and the character interactions between, like, two main races that are at war with each other, like those two ambassadors, is just freaking awesome, man.
Didn't John Travolta get involved at one point? Babylon 5? The movie or something like that?
He wasn't in the series.
Not that I remember.
Oh, okay.
He might be doing Battlefield Earth. Yeah.
Maybe that's what it is, Battlefield Earth.
Yeah, L. Ron Hubbard. Yeah.
Yeah,
it was terrible.
That's completely different. Yeah, Babylon 5.
It was so worse than the book.
Yeah, there's some scenes in there that it's just like, I was like, holy cow. Like, it's just an awesome, awesome series. But like Morrissey said, you have to look past, I mean, the effects are just god awful. They're worse than
terrible the
last
first season.
Yeah, they're just terrible. But the writing is so good.
He put a lot of his own money into it, and I mean, he struggled to get it renewed for another season. I think it bounced networks. There was like huge gaps.
Well, remember the original captain? He had to leave the show because of depression or some kind of mental illnesses. He was, I forgot what his name was, but so they had a new captain come in, the blonde haired guy. But he was still good, you know. Check it out. I'm gonna watch that new movie. I didn't know. I had seen stuff about it on the internet, but I thought this was just like people were. There was a new revival of Babylon 5, the original show. I didn't realize they made a whole new movie.
I didn't see anything about it. I saw it. My sonar downloaded it.
Okay.
Well, at least we all know that Honky absolutely loved Delete. His favorite movie of all time.
No.
That doesn't sound like a yes.
It's two thumbs up from Honky.
Right. I've been watching a lot of older stuff. Like, I've been going through some of my older movies. I found Weird Science, Fight Club. I watched Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Oh.
What else?
All good.
There's a show on Netflix called God's Favorite Idiot. I've been watching that. That's pretty good. Only Murders in the Building. I've gotten myself completely caught up on that. What else? Not much else. I haven't really watched anything new recently.
Well, I want to mention one more thing, one more show on Tubi that's good. It's got Ian McKellen in it. And him and this other guy, they play an old like gay couple that live together. They've been together for like 50 years. They are absolutely ruthless to each other. They say the freaking meanest, shittiest things, and it's like, it makes me laugh out loud. It's so funny. It's a comedy. It's called Vicious. It's on Tubi. So if you like Ian McKellen, he's really good in it. Check it out. Sitcom.
All right, back to Linux.
All right. Linux.
Boo-doo-boo.
So is there anything else housekeeping-wise we wanted to go over? All right, we wanted to talk about... So we're going to try to switch over to...
We have some new sponsors.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. The first one is Norwegian cod liver oil. I've been taking this lately. It's really good. It's lemon-flavored.
Lemon-flavored.
I heard that instead of the fish oil capsules, you should take the liquid form of cod liver oil. And if you ever have trouble going to the bathroom, this is really good too. Just lubricates everything and keeps it running nice and smooth.
Do you drink the whole bottle a day, or?
Yeah, no. You take 1 teaspoon. That's 4 grams a day. Or you can take. I've been taking 2 teaspoons, one in the morning and one at night. I figure, why not? And then the other sponsor I have is called Atsco Sports Wash, and this stuff is amazing. It's a detergent. But I wear a lot of synthetics when I work out or ride my bike and stuff, and I always have problems like getting that sweat smell out and getting the breathability back with them and stuff. They get eventually, after you wash them so many times, they kind of get clogged up. But this stuff, man, it works awesome. It's like lasts forever. It's $20 for a big bottle, Atsco Sports Wash. Like if you have any towels that got mildewed and you can never really get that mildew smell out, that stuff works on it. And it, like I had some sheets that I hadn't put on my bed in forever, so they'd just been sitting in the closet and they smelled like musty. And so I washed them just regular and I still had that smell. I used that sports wash and they smell like nothing. Like it doesn't have an actual fragrance, but it works really well. So cod liver oil and detergent, those two things are important. That's our new sponsors. Actually, I just had them sitting here, so I could grab them. But I am impressed.
I have a recipe that I'm planning on trying out for homemade zero-calorie maple-flavored syrup. I want to see how it comes out.
What is the... Does it use the... damn it. What is that sweetener called?
Sucralose?
No.
Erythritol?
Agave?
No, not agave. It comes from some kind of monk.
Monk fruit?
Yeah, monk fruit. Sweetener. Yeah.
Well, you can get monk fruit sweetener mixed with erythritol, or you can get pure monk fruit sweetener, which is extremely sweet, like super much sweeter than sugar. Same with pure sucralose. Most of the sucralose you get is cut with erythritol, and then it is like 400 times sweeter. The recipe can either use pure sucralose, pure monk fruit, or... just a lot of erythritol. So I have erythritol. That's probably what I'll end up using.
That's why, because I went to a Earth Day expo and they had that monk fruit display there, and they had maple syrup made with monk fruit sweetener. It was so good. It didn't taste like artificial sweetener at all. It was really good.
Well, it's not monk fruit's not an artificial sweetener.
But, I mean, I know, but it didn't have like that taste like aspartame or something has, you know, like you couldn't tell it wasn't real sugar. It was really good.
Right. And I have used that in the past for recipes, and you just use very, very small amounts of it when you're doing anything. But
it's concentrated.
Yeah, it is actually really good to work with. I just don't have any right now.
All right. So, Honky, you good?
Netminer, is there anything you've been watching on YouTube?
Nothing very special. Although when we get into the show, I have some computer stuff. I must say that Babylon 5 was one of my favorite science fiction shows.
You have good taste.
Yeah, I mean, I can still remember that last episode where the Captain of Babylon 5 just goes down with the ship, so to speak.
Way to spoil it.
Well, there's no point in watching it now, Honky.
Has anybody kept up with the stuff going on with Linus Tech Tips? Linus Media Group?
I see it on Lemmy, but since I don't ever watch that, I I didn't look at it, but I saw some threads on there about it.
I don't have all the details, but evidently Linus Media Group was a bit of a toxic place to work with no work-life balance and the focus being more on cranking out multiple videos per day as opposed to actually getting the information right, et cetera, et cetera. And some allegations of sexual harassment from one of the former coworkers there. And yeah, it's probably a good thing they got a new CEO. But they're not supposed to be making any videos this week.
Was that a big deal, Linus Tech Tips?
They are very popular on YouTube. They do make a lot of videos and they do a lot of reviews. I used to watch them a lot more when I thought they were a bit more informative, but I will say that I kind of stopped watching them as much this year unless there's something in particular that I want to see. Like they do a lot of reviews of phones that I absolutely don't care about. And there's also only so many computer builds that I'm willing to watch. And
according to Trips, masks are required at gyms. Is that Alexa?
Yeah.
Somebody told me that the big fat guy on there was a she-male or something. Or transgender, whatever.
Not that I'm aware of.
I don't know where I heard that.
I don't think that is correct.
I saw that mentioned somewhere.
Okay.
Anyway. I shouldn't have said that.
Strikes me a lot more like a neckbeard than anything else.
No, I think... is there a big fat guy on there?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a...
He's a hardcore Linux nerd.
Tranny. Transsexual. Transgender, what do you call him? Transvestite?
I never asked to see inside his pants, so I really don't out. Care he about like his came genitalia. Out or something.
Huh? I thought that was, or he came out or something. That was like a big deal. She came out, right?
I don't care. He Linux is hard.
That's what she said.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Before we get canceled, start the show.
Is there any Lovecraft? You been watching anything good?
Not a whole lot. I was on vacation for a while, but I'm still working my way through Primeval. I'm almost done season one. I finished Gotham Knights, and looks like that show did get canceled, so there will be no season two. And I also watched a movie called Older Gods, which is smack with Lovecraftian themes. It's pretty good.
What is it?
Into that kind of
a
stuff.
New show or think. Older show?
What's it called? It's a movie called Older Gods.
Oh, gotta check that out.
Sounds familiar.
It's on my watch list.
I think you'd like it, Wardensey.
Oh, that came out this year. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yep. It's fairly new.
It's on Tubi. Nice.
It's on Tubi? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Tubi is killing it.
Right. Wow, Tubi's been awesome, man. I've been watching so much good stuff on there. Really good stuff.
Yeah, I watched Delete on there.
It's on YouTube.
Delete was on Tubi? I didn't know that. I knew it was on Amazon.
It's on YouTube.
Oh, is it?
I downloaded the version that you had.
Oh, yeah. I put one up for if you wanted to watch that.
A lot easier. I usually just download it, and I actually just log into my my server, do a wget with it, and it's right onto my my Jellyfin. All right.
Oh my God! It's
Hacker
Public
Radio.
Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
The Linux Link Tech Show. Tune in to the world's longest-running Linux podcast, live every Wednesday, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Find us on the web at www.twlts.org. Or email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. IRC server, thelinuxlink.net /techshow. Join Pat, Alan, Link, and Joel. And don't forget the two Dans, They are so hot. I know, because I've kissed them both. And Lionridge, he's a bloody drunk. That's fact.
If you don't like gas, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that'll link it back.